జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షి శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం తేలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షి శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్డ్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్డ్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్డ్ డివోటీస్ All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimadi Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముఖ్యంది యత్ సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష దామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త గుహగం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత మూత్రపరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమజుహవ పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరమోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపం అదిదిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారినాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనోపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం జైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేన్ కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కనికాపి కాపి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారినే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంగం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమతి సుందర మందహాసం వాదాలయ శమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రదిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణిం భగవతిం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినిం అంబ త్వామనుసన్నదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణిం. నమోస్తు తే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధి ఫులారవిందాయ తపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృత దుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహద్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణదటాజయద్రతజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల. అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత మంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మావరుణీంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్ వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. So, the last two verses in this, in the 15th chapter which we discussed, Dva imau purushau loke kshara chakshara evacha kshara sarvani bhutani kudastam aksharamuchyade. Krishna talks about the kshara purusha and akshara purusha in that verse. And in the next verse, Krishna says, uttama purushastanyam పరమాత్మేది ఉదాహృత యో లోకత్రయం ఆవిశ్య విభర్తవ్యయం ఈశ్వర. సో ఉత్తమ పురుష, వాట్ వీ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ యెస్టర్డే, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్ దట్ దిస్ పురుషోత్తమ యోగం రియలైజేషన్ ఈస్ భక్తి. పురుషోత్తమ రియలైజేషన్ ఈస్ భక్తి. లైక్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ ఇన్ ద భగవద్గీత ఆల్సో ఎర్లియర్ లేటర్ ఆన్, బ్రహ్మభూత ప్రసన్నాల్మా న శోచతి న కాంక్షతి సమ సర్వేషు భూతేషు మద్భక్తిం లభతే పరా. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ దట్ పరాభక్తి దట్ లీడ్స్ టు ద రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ పురుషోత్తమ. or Uttama Purusha. That is the most important thing. Parabhakti leads to Uttama Purusha or Purushottama realization. How do we know? Because immediately after that verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma verse, Krishna spoke in the next verse, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvada Tadomam Tattvado Jnatva Vishade Tadanandaram. This verse actually talks about that knowing Krishna as the Purushottama. That Purushottama realization, that's what it is. So you can see that Purushottama realization, Krishna has spoken in many places, and Purushottama realization comes after Parabhakti. Parabhakti leads to Purushottama realization. Brahma Buddha state is what we talk about, that in the Akshara Purusha level. From Akshara Purusha stage, further moving on in spiritual path, in the bhakti process, one who cultivates that Parabhakti, which starts after Brahma Buddha realization. That is why it is mentioned like that. Brahma Buddha prasannalma na shochadi na kankshadi. Sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labhade param. So, these two verses and these verses here will give us a good relationship between bhakti and knowledge. Jnanam and bhakti. That is what, how it goes together. That's what is spoken there. You can see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, Krishna mentioned, in the Bhagavatam, you mentioned that, behistidam tadavastidam dadarsha. We saw that yesterday in the Dhruva Maharaj seeing Krishna. Where he did see first? Behistidam tadavastidam dadarsha. What he, Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna inside, later on Krishna, Dhruva saw him standing outside. So, from this you have to understand that what Dhruva Maharaj saw inside, he saw it outside. He saw it outside. What you see inside, that is what you will see outside. This is the law. What you see inside, is that what you will see outside. If you see Krishna inside, then everything what you see outside will be Krishna. And wherever you will look, you will only find Krishna elsewhere. Everywhere else you will only see Krishna. This is how that relationship is. This you can understand from these verses. Chara Purusha, Akshara Purusha, and then finally Uttama Purusha. So Uttama Purusha realization won't happen without Akshara Purusha realization. First you have to realize Akshara Purusha. And then it's after that, this realization of Uttama Purusha happens in a natural way. Once we have realized Akshara Purusha inside, when we open our eyes and see inside, what we see is Uttama Purusha, which is Akshara Purusha's manifestation outside. So, so that is what Krishna calls it as Purushottama Yogam. Purushottama Yogam. So practically you can see Purushottama Yogam is not different from Bhakti Yogam. Purushottama is not different from Bhakti Yogam. So that too, not the ordinary Bhakti Yogam, we are talking about Parabhakti Yogam. Parabhakti Yogam. It is not Prakrita Bhakti, it is not Madhyama Bhakti, it is that Uttara Bhakti. Jnanottara Bhakti, they call it. Bhakti with the highest knowledge behind it. That is the Bhakti, what is spoken as Parabhakti. Not the Prakrita Bhakti or the Madhyama Bhakti, Jnanottara Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti. That is that Parabhakti, what is spoken here. That means Bhakti that has developed in the heart after self-realization. After jnanam. So, because self-realization, spiritual life doesn't finish with jnanam. And with that jnanottara bhakti, that jnanam, after the realization of the self, actual bhakti begins at that point. Real bhakti begins at that point. Today, what we say, call it as bhakti, whatever we address it as bhakti, it is not even discussed in the Bhagavatam. That, or in the Bhagavad Gita. It's not given any value to it, because in the sadhana stage, whatever bhakti we are executing is full of desires inside and full of applications to Krishna to relieve our misery from this world. That is not even considered as bhakti. శాస్త్రం కెనాట్ డిస్కస్ సచ్ టాపిక్. శాస్త్రం డిస్కస్సెస్ విత్ ప్యూర్లీ విత్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద తత్వం ప్రిన్సిపల్స్. దట్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ బ్రహ్మభూత ప్రసన్నాల్ప న శోచతి న కాంక్షతి, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ సమసర్వేషు భూతేషు దట్ రియలైజేషన్ కమ్స్. మద్భక్తిం లభతే పరాం, యూ కెన్ సీ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ దట్ ద భక్తి దాట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ ద భగవద్గీత ఆర్ ఇన్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఈస్ ద భక్తి వాట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అస్ పరాభక్తి, ఆర్ దాట్ భక్తి దాట్ డివలప్స్ ఆర్ దాట్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద రియలైజేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్, జ్ఞానోత్తర భక్తి ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్. అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ వాట్ ఈస్ రెఫర్డ్ టు, బికాస్ దిస్ భక్తి వాట్ హెస్ కమ్ ఆఫ్టర్ సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ ద ప్యూర్ భక్తి, దాట్ భక్తి ఈస్ నాట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ జీవన్ముక్త స్టేట్. In the Jivan Mukta state only you can execute that bhakti. That means while living in this body, before the body drops off, but completely disconnected from the body in that state. That is that Jivan Mukta state. Jivan Mukta means while you are living in this body, the connection with the body is broken. And remaining in that state, the execution of bhakti in that way. That is called this Parabhakti here. So, you cannot have any, all these things, it should not create any conflict inside. If there is contradiction about things, then it will always be very, very difficult later. Without contradictions, without any conflicts, we should know these things. So, in spiritual life, if you have contradictions and conflict, you won't go very far. Because these doubts and these conflicts will continuously hamper your spiritual progress. So, Acharya Swami mentions here that the ultimate goal of knowledge of the self, ultimate goal of that is Jivan Mukti state, isn't it? And devotees will say, some people will say, oh, we don't want any knowledge, bhakti is enough for us, we are satisfied with bhakti. There is a group of people who says like that, isn't it? And in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Rishabhadev was discussing this, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sri Shuka Brahmarshi, that this is a very conflicting situation for me, he said. At that time, Parikshit Maharaj mentioned, at that time Shuka Brahmarshi mentions to him, isn't it? You can see that in the Bhagavatam. He says, when Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam దైవం ప్రియ కులపతి క్వచ కింగరో వా అస్తేవ మంగ భగవాన్ భజదాం ముకుందో ముక్తిం దదాది కర్హి జల్స్మన భక్తి యోగం. నౌ ఇఫ్ యు రీడ్ దట్ వర్డ్స్ యు విల్ గెట్ ఆల్వేస్ కన్ఫ్యూజ్డ్ థింకింగ్ దట్ ఓ ముక్తిం దదాది కర్హి జల్స్మన భక్తి యోగం. ముక్తి ఈస్ గివన్ ఈజీలీ బట్ భక్తి ఈస్ నాట్ గివన్ సో ఈజీలీ. దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ ఇట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ లైక్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యు ఓన్లీ టేక్ దట్ వర్డ్స్. Where Rajan Badar Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam, after hearing the story of Rishabhadev, Parikshit Maharaj felt within his heart, what is going to happen to me? He thought. A personality like Rishabhadev had to go through so many difficulties in his life. Like him, he was a king as well, isn't it? So naturally, Parikshit can relate very much with Rishabhadev. The kings know each other better, what their nature is. Isn't it? They are not like ordinary people. So Parikshit knew that a personality like Rishabhadev, who also walked out from his palace, exactly like the way Parikshit has walked out. He threw the whole thing away and walked out from the palace, isn't it? So Rishabhadev, when he walked out, seeing his situation, all his hair was matted hair, completely left loose, the beard was grown. If you see the photograph, the picture that's drawn in the Bhagavatam, you can see a general idea how he looked like. He had no clothes on, completely naked. He started walking from the, like a avadhuta. He was walking away from the palace, and he walked like that for the rest of his life. And many people threw stone at him. Children started thinking that he has gone crazy, and they were looking at him in that way. But inside is full of realization of the self. Rishabhadev was highly realized. And he had his 100 sons, starting from Bharata Maharaj, and then the 9 sages, you know, their stories in the Bhagavatam. And Rishabhadev instructed them on the spiritual path, and then he left, moved away from the palace. So after seeing Rishabhadev's situation, Parikshit Maharaj thought, what will be my fate now? I have gone and done something very bad. What was that? A dead snake, I have taken it with my bow and put it on the throat of Shamigha Rishi. And I am sitting here waiting for the punishment. This is Parikshit's mood. You have to look at Parikshit's situation. Parikshit has done a really wrong thing, which from Parikshit's point of view, such a thing should have never happened. After all, who is Parikshit? Pandava's tradition, isn't it? Such great personalities like Pandava, who upheld Dharmam as the highest principle in life, who are the great devotees of Krishna, how could Parikshit do such a thing? This is naturally, he was ashamed of what he has done. And that is why he felt that I deserve that punishment, strong punishment for what I have done. I have gone and offended a great sage, Shamigha Rishi, by doing this abominable thing, by throwing this dead snake around his throat and walked away from there. And you know, subsequently what happened? Shamigha Rishi sent this two brahmacharis from the ashram to the palace to go and tell the king that Sringi had cursed him to die within 7 days' time. Tatraga will bite him and he will die. Just inform this to the king and come back. And the brahmacharis went to the palace and told Parikshit this. As soon as Parikshit heard that, he never said one word against Sringi or against Shamigha Rishi. Instead, he thought, this is the arrangement Krishna has made for me to throw away everything what I have got and use this human life to realize Krishna. Taking that opportunity, Parikshit left the palace. And Parikshit has decided to go and sit in the river bank of Ganga River and just sit there and give up his body there. And at that time, by Krishna's arrangement, all the great sages came, and including Shukha Brahmarshi came there, and Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. That we know in the first canto, that story. So Parikshit was thinking, while this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, is all the time in his Parikshit's mind for what he has done to Shamigha Rishi. And so he was thinking that if this is what has happened to Rishabhadev, that Rishabhadev had to take a lot from this world. And what will be my fate? What is going to happen to me? This thought was working through Parikshit's mind. It was then that Shukha Brahmarshi says to him, Rajan Padir Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priya Kulabadi Koja Kingarova Astu Eva Mangha Bhagavan Bhajadam Mukundo Muktim Dadadi Karhijal Smana Bhakti Yogam. This is what he said to him. But Shukha Brahmarshi told Parikshit was that, my dear king, that you are come in a dynasty of the great personalities, Arjuna, Yudhishthira and many others, Kunti Devi and so many others. And this particular dynasty Pandavas, they were specially blessed by Krishna. Specially blessed by Krishna. Why? Kulabadi kvaja kingarova. So many things Krishna has done to please the Pandavas, isn't it? Driven Arjuna's chariot, acted as a representative for the Pandavas in negotiating with the Kauravas about the kingdom. And astu eva mangha bhagavan bhajadam mukundo, astu eva mangha bhagavan bhajadam mukundo muktim dadadi. That such personalities, mukti is generally given without any difficulty. Say, Shishuga Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, mukti is generally given very easily, but muktim dadadi karhi jalsmana bhakti yogam. But bhakti is not so easily given. Now, when you read that verse, when you do not know the difference between sadhana bhakti and parabhakti, this Shishuga Brahmarshi is talking only about parabhakti, not about sadhana bhakti. First thing, that is what you have to take into notice, that wherever Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken about bhakti, it is all about parabhakti, only about parabhakti, which comes after Brahmabhuta Prasannatma stage. So Brahmabhudam realization, Aham Brahmasmi realization, all that is given, Muktim Dadadi Karhijil, but స్మన భక్తి యోగం. బట్ దట్ భక్తి ఈస్ ఎ లిటిల్ బిట్ రిజర్వ్డ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ కెప్ట్ వెరీ స్పెషల్, సేస్ శుకబ్రహ్మర్షి టు పరీక్షిత్. థింకింగ్ దాట్ దిస్ భక్తి యోగం షుడ్ నాట్ కాస్ ఎనీ కన్ఫ్యూషన్, ఇమీడియట్లీ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్ శుకబ్రహ్మర్షి క్లారిఫైడ్ దాట్ వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్. నిత్యానుభూత నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణ శ్రేయసి దద్రజనయా చిర సుప్త బుద్ధే లోకశయ కరుణయా భయం ఆల్పలోకమాఖ్యాం నమో భగవదే కృషభాయ తస్మై. దిస్ ఈస్ దాట్ భక్తి, నాట్ ది ఆర్డినరీ భక్తి. నిత్యానుభూతం నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణ, దాట్ భక్తి దాట్ హెస్ కమ్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ డిజైర్స్. నిజలాభ నివృత్త తృష్ణ, all desires have gone away from inside and experiencing that nityanubhuti. Nityanubhuti is what? Nityanubhuti is that awareness of who I am, awareness of who I am, who I am, the self, who am I, that self awareness, all that is nityanubhuti. Like this awareness inside us, aham aham aham, all the time aham bhautam, that awareness. Shreyasi dadrajanaya chira supta buddhehe, seeing the world which is full of personalities who are completely conditioned by the modes of material nature and by the maya, seeing compassionate for them. Lokasaya karunaya abhayam alpalogam, that he felt the necessity, Rishabhadev felt the necessity to show to the world that lokasaya karunaya abhayam alpalogam akhyan namo. Who showed this to the world through his own life? Who? Rishabhadev exhibited this through his own life to the world and showed it to us. Akhya namo bhagavade rishabhaya tasmai. So you can see here in the Bhagavadam that the muktim dadadi karhajals mana bhakti yogam. Mukti Krishna gives, but bhakti he thinks a lot before he gives it. So when you read that, and Acharya Swamiji's statement there about Jivan Mukta state, we start wondering that, oh, is there a contradiction here between Jivan Mukta state and there is a bhakti what we are talking about? And what should I go after? Should I go after the Jivan Mukta state or should we go after the bhakti? So Acharya Swamiji mentions there that Jivan Mukti is the goal. Jivan Mukti is the goal. There is nowhere you can go. This Jivan Mukta state is not different from that bhakti state. Parabhakti state and Jivan Mukta state is one and the same. Srimad Bhagavatam says that mukti is not sufficient, bhakti is necessary. What should we do here? This question will come when you read those verses. So, whatever Acharya has mentioned there as Jivan Mukta state, the same thing is what is spoken in this fifth canto in Rishabhadev's story as bhakti. Bhakti is not different from Jivan Mukti. And because Acharya himself has defined what bhakti means, he mentions that when you start realizing your own self, who you are, Swarupam, who am I, what is my identity, if you start recognizing that, that means when you start recognizing your own identity means, this identity that aham, aham asmi, that aham, I am awareness, that inside, that which is all the time present in the form of awareness, and if your attention falls on that, and there getting fixed in that is the knowledge of the self. And that realization and getting absorbed in that realization is bhakti. So swarupanu anusandhanam bhakti rityabhidhiyate, that is the definition. So swarupam anusandhanam bhakti rityabhidhiyate, bhakti is not this bhakti is different than our sadhana bhakti. Our sadhana bhakti is attached to all other things, so many strings attached to the sadhana bhakti, so many desires inside, so many petitions to Krishna to sort our material situation. So many desires inside, power, position, money, fame, all kinds of desires inside. With all those desires, what kind of bhakti can we have? This is the point Krishna is making here. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read this part, you just have to have that totally disconnect from the bhakti what we executed the moment. Mentions here, bhaktirityabhi, swasvarupanu anusandhanam bhaktirityabhi. Anusandhanam of swasvarupam is called bhakti. He calls it as bhakti. So, anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means continuous attachment, rati. Bhagavatam calls it by the word rati or anusandhanam. Anusandhanam is due to rati. Anusandhanam can only happen when there is rati or attachment. And that attachment develops into an intoxicated state in bhakti. An intoxicated state in the bhakti. Completely, they call it as an inundation. And when, just like they give the example that in the heart, when there is a lotus flower, if there is any honey in that, and the bees which goes into the lotus flower to drink the honey there. Similarly, the realized soul, Jnani, he gets absorbed in the self and he enjoys that self unlimitedly. Unlimitedly. Krishna confirms that in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, you will see there that yes, swalparadhirevasyam. If you look at that, it is a famous verse in the third chapter, where Krishna says that Yastu alparadhirevasyal 17, verse 17, 317. Yastu alparadhirevasyal almadruptascha manava almanyeva almanatushta tasya karyam na vidyade. That's that verse. This is bhakti. That is the bhakti Krishna is talking about. Not to get confused with the kind of bhakti what we got used to. Yes, alparadhirevasya, almadruptascha manava, almanyeva almanastushta, tasya karyam na vidyade, Krishna is saying. Completely dependent on the jivanmukta state. That alparadhi, completely absorbed in the self, self alone, happiness deriving from the self. This is bhakti. This is the bhakti Krishna is talking about. Yes, almaradhirevasya, almatruptascha manava, almanyeva almanatushta, tasya karyam na vidyade. For one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied with the self only, in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. That is that final stage. There is no more movement from there, fully fixed in that state. So that is what Krishna is saying here. We must study this chapter with that background. Otherwise it will all go in a totally different way. All the Prakrita Bhakti and lower Bhakti, everything, you start taking Bhakti, and that's what Krishna is talking about. Many people misunderstand this. They think that, I am a devotee, therefore this Jnanam is not necessary. But this bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, is after jnanam. After realization, what bhakti happens, that's what, and that is completely related with the self, with the atma inside. Atmanyev atmanatushta, tasya karyam na vidyade. He doesn't have anything else to do then, after that. Isn't it? So, radhirevasya atmatruptascha manava, atmanyev atmanatushta, tasya karyam na vidyade. Krishna is saying, isn't it? So, he doesn't have anything to do after that. And that rati, what the word Krishna has used the word there, rati, that rati is jivanmukti. Only in the jivanmukta state you can have that rati. Not otherwise. Rati won't happen. This rati is a very special word used in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is alpa rati revasya. Krishna says, that rati should be only in relationship with the atma, nothing else. Yes, atma rati revasya, atma truptascha manava, atmanyeva almanatushta, tasya karyam na vidyate. One has to be fixed in the self, fixed in the self. So this bhakti is what leads to purushottama realization or uttama purusha realization. What we saw in the last words, uttama purushasthvanyam paramatmedi udahrida yo loga trayam avishya bhivartya avyayam ishwara. Our sadhana bhakti or our whatever we have taken as bhakti at the moment, that won't get us to, that is necessary. It's not that it's written off. That is a very, very early stages of bhakti. But this bhakti in this chapter, what Krishna is talking about, realizing Purushottama, is a bhakti which is far beyond our sadhana stages. In this bhakti, it is fully connected with knowledge. Knowledge is not separated out. With knowledge, what bhakti will develop in a person? That is the bhakti spoken here. That's why it is so special. It is impossible to imagine that Krishna will say something connected with our sadhana bhakti will lead to Purushottama realization. Purushottama realization comes from the much higher plane. After we have gone beyond the Akshara Purusha, it is happening. Akshara Purusha realization itself is Brahma Buddha state. And it will go beyond than that. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, here from this you can see that Jnani and Bhakta are not different at that stage. He is a Jnani and he is a Bhakta. He is a devotee as well. So, if you look into Ishopanishad, the same thing is spoken. Ishopanishad verses also, if you take it in a different way, it could cause problems. Again, you have to see in connection with Bhagavad Gita all that. Otherwise, it's not independent in any of these Upanishads. So, in the Ishopanishad, you will see there that the Krishna mentions there also that the verse is Yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyevanu pashyati sarva bhuteshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsate. Sixth verse. And again that seventh verse also. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivabhut vijanata tatrako mokaha kashokaha egatvam anupashyataha. These two verses. Very strongly mentioning to us, these are all the realizations before that Purushottama, before Purushottama realizations. These things will be there in that person who is realizing the Purushottama or Uttama Purusha. The Uttama Purusha verse, what we have discussed now, prior to that, these two things has to happen. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyev anupashyati. In all living entities, only there is Atma. Krishna alone is present there. Sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsate. He is seeing sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam. What he has seen inside, he is seeing in everyone outside. This is what it is. What he saw inside, he is seeing that same thing because he is seeing Krishna inside. And that presence of Krishna inside, he is seeing in everyone else. That's why I say, sarva bhudeshu chalpmanam tato na vijugupsate. Tato na vijugupsate. And at that time, he has, once you see in that way, there is no hate towards any other person or any other living entity. Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmavabhud vijanata tatrako moha tashka shokaha ekatvam anupashyati. Again, see, sort of stressing that one who sees always all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes the true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for that person, for him? So, important thing here is that this is the place in Bhagavad Gita where everything comes together. You can see the effect of Ishopanishad, Bhagavadam's effect, Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. And again, if you look, go back into Bhagavadam, when Hari Maharshi categorized devotees into three, is it not? Uttama Bhaktan, Prakrita Bhaktan, Madhyama Bhaktan. Based on that, we say Uttama Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and the Kanishtha Adhikari, is it not? We say like that. So, here with Purushottama Yogam, There is no question of bringing Kanishtha Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari there. Kanishtha Adhikari and Madhyama Adhikari all rejected. It's not even talked about. Only the Uttama Adhikari. Therefore, if you look into the Uttama Adhikari's definition, what is that? Again, exactly the same thing. Sarva Bhudeshu Ya Pashed Bhagavad Bhavam Almana Bhudani Bhagavad Tesha Savai Bhagavadottama. So where is the difference, Jnani and Bhakta? When it comes to realization, the Jnani and the Bhakta, after the Jivan Mukta state, what happens to that person is exactly what happens to a devotee who is in the Parabhakti stage. Only in the Parabhakti stage. Otherwise it cannot be connected. Sarva Bhudeshu Ya Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Almana Bhudani Bhagavatyasha Savai Bhagavadottama. First class devotee, what does he say? Nothing to do with the deity worship or anything. Sarva Bhudeshu Ya Pashyet, that is his qualification. Everywhere in everywhere, every living entity, seeing the presence of that spark, Krishna. Krishna's spark. Why? Because he has seen himself inside first. First he has seen him already. Now he is seeing that, after that in everyone. That is his qualification. Never said anything about deity worship or any other qualification. His qualification is this. Sarva Bhudeshu Ya Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam. That Bhagavad Bhavam in everyone. That won't come very easily. Why? There is so much ragadvesham inside. Is it not? When there is ragadvesham, how will Bhagavad Bhavam will come? It will be ragadvesham that comes out. Is it not? So, that is what Krishna is saying here. So, Sarvabhudam, in Sarvabhudeshu Yapashet, Krishna, when you see Krishna there, and Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Almana. Almana. Almana means Bhagavad Bhavam, because he has to see Krishna first inside. That is the first thing. You have to see him inside, and when you see Krishna inside, Andaryami inside, what will happen is that divinity, the spark of divinity, he realizes that up to that point he is in identification with the body, isn't it? His own body. He's been thinking he is this body, he is this body. But when he realizes that Krishna is inside me, Andaryami inside, he realizes that I have nothing to do with this body. That leaves him straight away. Leaves him. So when that is realized, he says, Esha Bhagavadottama. That person is the first class devotee. And not only that, Srimad Bhagavatam was not satisfied with that. That Upanishad, what Upanishad? Because Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he was extremely careful that whatever he wrote in the Bhagavatam did not contradict with Upanishads. That he has to be careful, otherwise it will all become confusing. So, in order to make sure that what he has written there is in agreement with Upanishads, what did he do? In the Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tektvena bunjida magrada kasya sviddhanam. There is a verse in the Ishavanishad, isn't it? Vedavyas took that verse and put it in the Bhagavatam. Have you noticed that? In the 8th canto, in the beginning. So, just to show to us that whatever I am saying in this Bhagavatam is not different from what is in the Upanishads. So, what did he say there? In the Upanishads said, cover the whole world with Krishna. That's what it means, isn't it? Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Everything is Krishna. Cover everything with Krishna. So, normally, Upanishad will say Atma. Always. Upanishad will say Atma. But Upanishad said Isha. Ishwara. In that way, Upanishad has spoken. But what did Srimad Bhagavatam do? Srimad Bhagavatam took that word, instead of saying Isha Vasyam, it said Atma Vasyam Idam Sarva Vishwam, he said. If you look into the 8th canto, you will see that verse. You have to look at it that way, otherwise this misunderstanding will come about, all confusion it will be. That if you look into the 8th canto, the first chapter itself, you can see there, that the 10th verse, Atma Vasyam Idam Vishwam. Who says? Vedavyasa says. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam is in the Upanishad. And normally, normally, Upanishads always use the word Atma, not the word Bhakti. That's not usual. Or Ishvara. Ishvara, as soon as you say Ishvara, it becomes a personality. That Upanishads are not in the nature, it's not their habit to talk about personalities. So that is why, but strangely enough, in Ishvara-Upanishad, the word used was Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Ishvara has come there. Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. So what Vedavyas did, when he brought into Bhagavadam, he threw that Ishvara word away and put, as though it is in the Upanishads, Atmavasyamidam Vishwam, he says. Atmavasyamidam Vishwam. Yet kincha jagatyam jagat. Right? Remaining things are all Upanishad words only. Straight away from Ishvara-Upanishad. Atmavasyamidam Vishwam. Yet kincha jagatyam jagat. Tena taktvena bunchida magrada kasya siddhanam. Magrada kasya siddhanam. That is another indication of this, that the Shastram, what's interesting is, Srimad Bhagavatam is a Bhakti Grantham, more than anything else, isn't it? It's more about discussion about Bhakti. So, this Shastram, which is meant to talk about Bhakti, is talking about Jnanam. That verse is a Jnanam verse it is. It's not a Bhakti verse. So, the Bhagavatam, which is supposed to talk about Bhakti, is talks about Jnanam. And, Shastram, which is Ishvara-Upanishad, which is supposed to talk about Jnanam, is talking Bhakti. Have you seen that? Why is it spoken like that? To show to us, Jnanam and Bhakti is non-different. If you start separating them out, you will get into problems later. You cannot separate them. The realized state, Jnani and the Bhakta, is equally important. Equally on a higher, both higher, equal level there. There's no higher and lower there. There's no higher and lower. Because a first class Jnani will be a first class devotee. And a first class devotee will be a first class Jnani as well. It will go together. It cannot be separate. So that is why you can see here, these two verses, when you look at Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and Ishvara-Upanishad, you can see how that exchange is going on. Whereas Ishvara-Upanishad said, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkin jagatyam jagat tena taktvena bunchida magrada kasya siddhanam. And that verse actually should have been in Bhagavatam. Why? Because it's a verse addressed to Krishna as Ishvara and purely based on Bhakti. And Bhagavatam is the literature for text for Bhakti. Instead, that verse appeared in the Upanishad, Ishvara-Upanishad. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi, in the Bhagavatam, he put that verse, Atmavasyam idam vishwam, yat kincha jagatyam jagat, tena taktvena bunjida magrada kasya siddhanam. As though it's a pure verse of knowledge, he has put it there, which is quite unusual for, only to indicate to us that the bhakti and jnanam are non-different in the realization state. So, but some people like it if you say bhakti. And some others, and then you have to say bhakti in the terms of bhakti. And some others, they'll only be satisfied if you talk in terms of jnanam. These are all words only at the end. In realization, what does it mean? At the end, when you realize the truth, in realize the self, who you are, and what your relationship is with Krishna, when you realize Krishna, then word doesn't mean anything anymore. You're already eating the sugar, then you don't have to discuss sugar, what sugar is it not? So, similarly you can see, some people will say only when you talk Brahmam, Brahmam, they will enjoy it. And so for their sake, you have to say Brahmam. And some others, they will say, people will say, oh, so many days you have spoken Bhagavad Gita, but you never spoke about Krishna anything. They'll say like that. Is it not? Some people are like that. You say, you never spoke about Krishna. And so, what are we talking about then? That question will come, isn't it? So, anyway, we should not have to argue about all these things. It's all waste of time. That is why when Vedavyas started Srimad Bhagavatam, did you see how he started? He could have very well said, Krishnam Param Dhimahi, isn't it? Instead, he said that Vastu, that we are discussing is one. And then he said, he made it very clear, vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. And that advaya jnanam is brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavanidi, shabdyade. That's all it is. It's spoken in three different ways. Brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavanidi, shabdyade. And they are all referring to the one thing. Vastu is same. Vastu is not different. So that vastu, some people call vastu as Bhagavan. Some people will address it as Brahman. And some people will say Paramatma. But what really exists? Advaya Jnanam. That's what he says there, isn't it? Vadandita Tattvavidam. That Tattvam is Advaya Jnanam. That is what it is. So that means, Advaya Jnanam means there is not another thing existing. That alone exists. There is no one without a second. Pure Prajna, consciousness. That's what exists. Only pure Prajna, consciousness. Anubhuti is its Swarupam. If you want to know who it is, you have to realize it. That's all it can do about it. So pure Prajna, and when you start experiencing that Prajna, and then you will see there, start seeing that Prajna is present in everyone, and that is Krishna's presence in everybody. That same Prajna, what you are experiencing inside, you are seeing that same Prajna is present in everyone. Prajna is the word used in the Bhagavatam in many, many places. So that is what in that verse you see, in the 17th verse, what Krishna spoke about here. You will see there that the Uttama Purushastanyam, Uttama Purushastanya Paramalpedi Udahrada, he says. Isn't it? Uttama Purushastanyam Paramalpedi Udahrada. Yo Logatrayam Avishya Vibhartya Avyayam Ishwara. Paramalpedi Ishwara. Is Paramalpa, he is Ishwara. Again, to tell us that Uttama Purusha is not different from the Paramalpa, not different from Ishwara, not different from the Ishwara. And that is one important thing to know, that bhakti, when we discuss bhakti, especially these chapters, this 15th chapter, Purushottama Yogam is spoken on a very, very higher level of realization, not in an ordinary person's level, very higher level of realization. If you remember, we discussed this before also, that in the grammar also, the same situation happens in the grammar. In English grammar, we have first person, second person, third person, isn't it? So, first person is me. I am important. Everybody else later. I am the one who is the most important. So, we call it as first person. Because I am important. That's why. And then, next important is you. And the last one, he. This is our great language. Knowledge of the, I am first, then you, after me you can be, not before that, and then the last one others. So that's how first person, second person, third person. In the Sanskrit, completely opposite way, completely opposite way. Saha, he is important first, he is the first one, and then Tvam, next one, and the last one is Uttama Purusha. Uttama Purusha, who is Aham. Comes to Saham. Later, Uttama Purusha's transformation. But Uttama Purusha is spoken as the, Uttama Purusha is given as the first person. Uttama Purusha is given as the first person. So, Uttama Purusha, even this principle, what is in relationship with self-realization, even the Vyakaranas, Vyakarana means grammarians, even the grammarians, they will not deviate from that. Because if you deviate, everything changes so much. So Aham, Aham Shabdham, what we say Aham is Uttama Purusha is given, not reference to the body. When we say in English, I, completely refers to my body, isn't it? But the Aham inside is Uttama Purusha. That is importance given to him. So if you look at the Vachyartham, Vachyartham means verbal meaning of all these letters, you will see that I am the best one, and then the second one, you are the second best. And then the others are all the third one, third class, we can say. So Uttama Purushan, everyone is Uttama Purushan. Everyone is Uttama Purushan. That's the difference. బికాస్ అహం 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 దాట్ శబ్దం విచ్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఈస్ వన్ ద నాట్ డిఫరెంట్ సీ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ అహం అవేర్నెస్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఈస్ వన్ అహంకారం ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ అహం బోధం ఈస్ వన్ ఈస్ ఇట్ నాట్ అండ్ దాట్ అహం బోధం ఈస్ ఉత్తమ పురుష therefore that is uttam purusha when you say ahankaram as you can't define that as he that is first person in other languages all other languages in the world is like that except in sanskrit so when we inquire that he says here uttama purushastanyam paramalmedi udahrata yo logatrayam avishya vivartavyam ishvara vivartavyam ishvara so instead of saying I am all the time instead of attention falls on that awareness inside aham 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 bodham if the attention falls there and if you start inquiring about that aham bodham instead of saying I am all the time about my false ego instead if our inquiry falls attention falls on that aham bodham inside then you will when you realize that you will see there you will not see any more aham bodham in the form of a personality rather in the form of tattvamasi is it not remember from prajnanam brahmam you move on to the next realization of aham brahmasmi from aham brahmasmi you move to tattvamasi and finally I am atman brahma sarvakalidam brahma that is that flow of the realization So instead of sticking on to your false ego as ahankaram if our attention somehow falls on the aham bodham which manifests in every one of us as aham 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 which is always beating there that aham bodham finally takes us out of our personality which is jiva nature vyaktitvam and tattvamasi which is our ultimate realization it happens at that stage and know that and this is why even the vyakaranam means who teaches vyakaranam who wrote the vyakaranam means grammar books even the grammarians in Sanskrit they are also saying to us that satyam inquire after that don't inquire of the ahankaram inquire after the aham bodham so many instances you will see this spoken again and again in the various books where acharya has written about that he says there what is the use he says even though everything is spoken so clearly in the shastram still people are so moodha they cannot get this into their head and you can see in the bhagavad gita alone krishna has spoken this word moodha in few places isn't it what is that moodha maudhyada means that after everything krishna says that people say this oh krishna has got a flute in the hand krishna's got a flute in the hand some people say is it okay to keep the flute in krishna's hand like that some people have doubts all kinds of doubts comes to their mind so and they have their own reasons arguing about that So it is in this connection that you can see that if you look back into the traditions of the spiritual knowledge you will see there that Lord Buddha comes and Lord Buddha revealed a lot of knowledge about the self from the after his realization he spoke many many things which are very much in agreement with the Upanishads not different at all in any way but after his time 100 200 years after that things are gone again lost it and they have lost everything and you could see that Buddha's teachings became a religion at that time it became a religion isn't it and what has happened after that when it becomes a religion people develop a structure around that isn't it institutions structure around that they will develop that's unavoidable in the world it's always like that in fact in reality Lord Buddha is the first person who started an institution he didn't start his followers were the one who started institution. That means 2500 years ago, first time in spiritual life, institutions came in. Before that, no institutions existed. And then since then, other religions also followed. Christianity, Islam, and other denominations in the church. Everything came up later. But Buddha was the first person who started as an institution spiritual life. Till then, there was no institution. Great personalities appeared, they spoke the truth, and they left the world. Left to the others to follow or take it or leave it. That was their attitude. So they are left to the others. So, so here you can see when religion degrades like that, it also manifests in different worships of deities, different deities. Vedic philosophy also is like that. After when acharyas spoke about spiritual life, self-realization, and they wrote their great literature of the self, of realizing the truth, there is no discussion about the lower form of deities. Now, in the modern Hinduism, if you look at, you will see the amount of deities that's being worshipped. In every village, in every state if you go, there is a new deity appearing there. If you ask them, oh look, this is our family deity, they will say. Where did all this develop from? Where did they take at their birth? Because this is how religion happens. It happens. Therefore, nobody can answer that question. Why did that happen? And you can't convince anyone about this. Acharya says about this. Shruti Vedam, she is telling us directly about the truth. Directly she is telling us what the truth is about Atma, about the soul. And she is beating the drum to draw our attention towards that. How is that drum? Because we haven't had the brain to intelligence to accept that. Adhyashtamiti. Ashtamiti means like what happens is in religion what happens? We get attracted to all the rules. Isn't it? Rules, regulation. Sometimes when you see people's fascination for rules and regulations, you feel sorry for them. Because, today is Ashtami, it's so important. And then there will be a Navami after that for something else. And then there will be a Dashami followed by that. And then there will be Ekadashi after that. So, they are busy with Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Trayodashi, Chaturdashi, like that. And everything, Shrutvebi, Aho. All these things they get followed very seriously. They are following that. But when Shruti says to us, Tatvamasi, they find Vakyam na Vishwasati. They can't believe it, he says. They find it very difficult to believe that. They'll believe in Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Trayodashi, everything. But when they tell them that you are Tatvamasi, oh no, that is impossible to accept that for them. Albudam eva deva. It is wonderful for them. That is the greatest difficulty. That is the greatest difficulty. This is where we fall. We think that following Ashtami, Navami, Dashami is life, spiritual life. That is not spiritual life. That is only to discipline the body. Nothing more than that. Disciplining the body and the mind. What is the truth? Truth is beyond all these things. Truth is what Upanishads are saying to us. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahmam. These are the truth. What we are, isn't it? So, so similarly you can see that people, when they have distress also, our mind normally goes into consulting an astrologer or some kind of source we contact with because we feel there is some danger in life, something is not going right. And the astrologer will make it some kind of remedial measures. He will suggest that do this or that. And we will, full faith will accept it. full faith, because astrologer has told that. Will told that. But what we have to remember is, Jyotisham also is only a very small part of the Vedam. It's only a very small part of the Vedam. But that mother, Shruti Madhava, Vedam, who out of her compassion for us, when she talks to us about the truth, 100% the truth, our attention is not going there. We are unable to take it. Why is it like this?
വൈദ്യ സിറ്റുവേഷൻ ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് യു കെൻ സി ഇവൻ ടുഡേ ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ് ഇവൻ ഇൻ ദ മോഡേൺ വേൾഡ് ഓൾസോ ദിസ് ജ്യോതിഷം അസ്ട്രോളജി ഇസ് എ ത്രൈവിംഗ് ഇൻഡസ്ട്രി ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് ഇഫ് യു ഗോ ഇൻ ഇന്ത്യൻ ചാനൽസ് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ടെലിവിഷൻ ചാനൽസ് എവറി മോർണിംഗ് ദർ ഇസ് എ ചാനൽ ഫോർ ദി അസ്ട്രോളജർ എ ടെലിവിഷൻ ചാനൽ എവറി ചാനൽ സംബഡി ഇസ് ദർ പ്രസന്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് പീപ്പിൾ ഓൾസോ ഹാവ് അറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ടു ദീസ് അസ്ട്രോളജേഴ്സ് അസ്ട്രോളജി ഇസ് നോട്ട് എ റോങ് തിങ് ഡോൺ ടേക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ റോങ് വേ ബട്ട് കമ്പയർ ടു ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ വേർ ഈസ് അസ്ട്രോളജി വാട്ട്സ് അസ്ട്രോളജി ഗോയിങ് ടു ഡു ഫോർ അസ് temporarily it is telling you if you do these things probably you can get out of your little trouble in this world but has it solved the real problem is that we have this material body and there is no way to come out of this material existence so that is why it mentions there that shows to us the power of that ignorance in us it is indicating to us how powerful that ignorance is within us and he says here അഹോ അഹോ അതിഗംഭീരം ദുരവഗാഹ്യം വിചിത്രായാം മായ മായ ഈസ് സോ വിചിത്രം മായ ഈസ് സോ അമേസിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് അഹോ അതിഗംഭീരം ദുരവഗാഹ്യം യു ക്യാൻ നെവർ അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് മായ ഹൗ മായ വിൽ ട്രാപ്പ് അസ് സ്പിരിച്വലി വെരി മച്ച് ഈവൻ നൗ ടുഡേ യു വിൽ സീ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ആഫ്റ്റർ സ്റ്റഡിങ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ആൻഡ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ദേ ഗെറ്റ് ട്രാപ്ഡ് ഇൻ ടു ദിസ് into this and then they say oh Prabhupada was consulting an astrologer this is the answer and they are saying that we'll go into the same astrologer who Prabhupada is but he has gone from this world can't consult him anymore but this is not proper spiritual understanding then spiritual understanding is astrology what astrology is for what astrology is for the body and for the jiva Akshara-purusha it's nothing to do with Akshara-purusha or with the Purushottama Yogam. So, if you want to go up in spiritual path, these kind of things like astrology, gemology and zoology, so many ologies are going on all around. All these you have to leave it behind. If you don't leave them behind, it will be another baggage you will be carrying with you and you won't make it. These are all unnecessary baggage behind us. For realizing the self, all these are a burden. These are nothing but a burden. So, Acharya says here that Hridayam sarvo jantuhu paramartha tattvevi eva muchya manedi na grahnadi amushya putreha amushya mangedi na grahnadi. So, people say that I am the grandchild of such and such a great person. There was some great personality in my family long ago. I am his grandson, they say. And somebody says I am a man or I am a woman and I am powerful. And somebody say, so in this way, all the ajnanam, avidya inside us is always joined with the body. With the body. Body and this ajnanam, they are together. Body and the ajnanam are together. And never discusses about the swarupam. What are we actually? That discussion never happens. That discussion never happens. Always discussing in the level of that ignorance state. So in that way, life is wasted, he says here. So the highest happiness what we are all actually after, that is within us. That is the point Krishna is making here. Where is this Purushottama realization is the happiness. And what is that? And what we think today as false ego within all of us. And if you can go and catch that false ego, you will see that it leads us into that aham bodham inside later on and you can see here that uttama purusha realization which is aham bodham inside when you realize that ahankaram when you catch hold of that it will eventually leads you to that uttama purusha realization that is what Krishna is saying here aham atma gudakesha സർവഭൂതാശയസ്ഥിത അഹം ആദ്യഞ്ച മദ്യഞ്ച ഭൂതാനാം അന്തമേവ ച യു റിമെമ്പർ ഇൻ ദ 10th ചാപ്റ്റർ വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് അഹം ആത്മാ ഗുണാകേശ റിയലൈസിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ആത്മ സർവഭൂതാശയസ്ഥിത പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ഓൾ ലിവിംഗ് എൻറ്റിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് അഹം ദാറ്റ് അഹം ഈസ് ആദ്യം ച മദ്യം ച ഭൂതാനാം അന്തമേവ ച ബിഗിനിങ് മിഡിൽ ആൻഡ് എൻഡ് ഓഫ് എവറിഥിങ് അഹം റിയലൈസേഷൻ പുരുഷോത്തമ റിയലൈസേഷൻ inside. Aham, aham, aham alpa gudakesha, that realization will eventually lead into Purushottama Yoga, Uttama Purusha stage. That is what he is saying here. That means, who is present in the place of our heart, Hridayasthanam, in Hrit, as Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that is Krishna's manifestations, he will manifest there. And that, when that realization happens, in due course of time, it will get matured and it will start moving into our Vyavaharam also. In Vyavaharam level, it will come. Initially, it realized inside. And then when it comes to that, it comes into all other living entities. What Krishna mentions that, Aham adhyanja bhudanam andamevaja. In all living entities, when that happens, Krishna says, even in the Vyavaharam, it will come. Even in the Vyavaharam, it will come. And what does that mean? It means that even while Vyavaharam is conducted in this world, Krishna, you feel presence of Krishna with yourself. You feel Krishna's presence with you. And you also know very well Krishna is conducting the Vyavaharam from inside. And with that stage, na bahya abhyantaro ajaha. So, na bahyantaro ajaha. Whatever you hear at that time, inside or outside, whatever you see, whatever you hear, all of that is Krishna's manifestation. That is a very higher stage. After you have to realize the Akshara Purusha first. After Akshara Purusha stage, when you see that Uttama Purusha is, Akshara Purusha is present in everyone, in all living entities, that is Uttama Purusha stage. At that time, Krishna says, na bahya abhyantaro ajaha. So anything what we can, in when we reach that state, some people will remain as purely in bhakti. So this Purushottama Yogam, what we have discussed in this chapter, what will happen is Purushottama Yogam's beauty Krishna is talking about. They have, once you come to that state, they will see a relationship with Krishna and they will keep that relationship with them all the time. In a particular way, they will be always in touch with Krishna. In a particular way. Either they will think they are servant of Krishna, or they will say they are Krishna's child, or some mellow will build up at that time in that person. When he has come to the Purushottama Yoga realization, some mellows will develop. One of the five mellows. So that person who has enjoyed Parabhakti stage, and at that stage, you know, this remains in him for one reason only. He wanted to taste bhakti, what bhakti means. He wanted to taste that in that state. So therefore they call in the Shastram as Dagdhapadam. Dagdhapadam means that, Dagdhapadam means, suppose there is a cloth and it caught fire and it burned. Now in form it remains the same like before, but you can't use it anymore, isn't it? You can't use it anymore. Why? Because it's not strong anymore. It's burnt already. Everything is burnt. But sometimes you can see paper and cloth. If you burn that, it will remain like that after burned. But it cannot be used anymore, isn't it? So, the reason it's spoken like that is that even he may have some personality in him still at that stage. It is possible that personality may not completely left him. Completely, still there could remain as some trace of personality in him, Vyakti Bhodam, but he will not be affected by that. He will not be affected by that. Why? Because now Bhagavadam comes. You see how Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is connected. The reason is that he has already handed over his false ego to Krishna. He has already handed over his false ego. He is moving in this world, but there is no false ego inside. Ahankaram, he has handed over to Krishna. He has no false ego anymore. And once you have handed over that Ahankaram, then he is in that state. Purushottama Yogam say, the best example in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahabali. Mahabali story. Remember Mahabali, Vamanamurti asked for 3 feet of land, isn't it? 3 feet of land. And this is Purushottama Yogam. This handing over this 3 feet of land is Purushottama Yogam. Let's see how it is. Mahabali, what did he hand over the first 2 feet? First feet is Kshara-purusha. Second feet is Akshara-purusha. And third feet is that Purushottama Yogam. This is how you connect Mahabali's 3 feet with the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you can say Vamanamurti came and he asked for 3 feet. Mahabali said, yeah, 3 feet you can have. 3 feet is not a big deal for Mahabali, is it? Who controls all the three planetary systems, 3 feet of land. You may start thinking, why all these 3 feet, making such a big issue out of it, 3 feet of land, Vamanamurti is asking. And there is a whole discussion in the Bhagavatam about it, is it not? Mahabali says, oh, you're coming to Mahabali asking for, Mahabali's ego, so strong, isn't it? So strong ego inside. Asura, head of the Asuras, isn't it? He says to Krishna, Vamanamurti, said, don't you know what you should ask when you come to Mahabali? This is Mahabali's power, strength, head, the hot head inside. Mahabali is saying this. Vamanamurti is smiling, looking at him. Through your 3 feet, I'll take everything from you, he said. Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha and Purushottama, all realizations, Krishna gave it to him at the end. That's what that 3 feet is talking about. You can see Bhagavad Gita, how it comes in the Bhagavad. When you read Bhagavadam stories, if you see the subtlety of that, then you can appreciate better. Otherwise, you will just think, oh, another story I've heard. I heard that story, you will say. So, finally that third feet, when Kshara-purusha and Akshara-purusha has gone from inside, Mahabali was Tattva-jnani. He had the knowledge of the Tattva inside and he handed over himself finally, isn't it? Himself he had handed over. So, when he handed over himself at that time, Krishna gave Mahabali an amazing benediction which he has never given to anybody. Even he didn't give it to Prahlad even. Prahlada said this to Mahabali, what you got from Krishna is even higher than what I got. We consider Prahlada as the greatest devotee, isn't it? And that Prahlada says to Mahabali, what you got from Krishna, I didn't get it. He says to Mahabali, what was that? if you want to see, in Bhagavad Gita, you know that famous words, Yoga Kshemam Mahamiham. Ananyas Chindayandomam, Yejana Parivasade, Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam. Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. Even beyond than that, if there is any benediction, that's what Krishna has given to Mahabali. In that verse, that's an important verse. In the 9th chapter it comes, isn't it? In the Raja Yogam chapter. And we consider Raja Yogam chapter as a very important chapter, right in the middle, talking about the king of all knowledge. And the highest realization is spoken in that chapter. Is this Ananyas Chindayandomam Yejanam Pariyuvasade Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. Krishna is saying there. It's a famous words. I'm sure everybody knows that. And Krishna is saying, such a person who has that Ananya Bhakti, what we talked about many times, Yejanam Pariyuvasade, who are serving Krishna in that state, Ananya Bhakti. Their yoga kshemam, yogam and kshemam, spiritual and material both, I will take care. That's a big guarantee, isn't it? Very good guarantee certificate that is, what Krishna has given there. But to Mahabali, even better than that, another certificate, higher warranty. Normally you get for 12 months warranty. Here, 5 years extended warranty like thing, Krishna has given there. That is the benediction to Mahabali. What did Krishna say to Mahabali? Krishna says to Mahabali that he came as a little boy. Krishna came as a little boy. Vamanamurti, isn't it? Who is Vamanamurti? If you understand this, then Vamanamurti in Vedam, he is referred to as Urukrama. Urukrama is the word for Vamanamurti in the Vedam. Bhagavatam also uses that word Urukrama. If you look into the first canto in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, there is a discussion about Vedavyasa Maharshi when he was talking about the fifth chapter. Sri Narada Maharshi discussing with the Vedavyas. When Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Sri Narada Maharshi says to him, as a introduction prior to writing Bhagavatam, he says to him, Atho Bahabhagam Bhavan Amokha Drikkam Shuchishrava Satyarato Dhridavradaha Urukramasyakila Bandamukthaye Samadhinanusmara Tadvicheshtidam. That is what that is. Urukramasyakila Bandamukthaye Samadhina Anusmara Tadvicheshtidam Atho Mahabhaga Bhavanamodadhrak Shuchishrava Satyarato Dhridavradaha Urukramasyakila Bandhamuktaye Samadhinam Anusmaratadvijeshtidam. So, Samadhina Anusmarana Vijeshtidam. Vedavyasa Maharshi is, Narada Maharshi is giving bhiksha, diksha to Vedavyasa. He says to him, Urukramam, Trivikramam, these are all words used in the Bhagavatam for Vamana, Lord Vamana Dev. He is addressed with Urikrama or Vamamurti. So, Vamanamurti, when he came, he was very small. Is it not? He was very, very small. Urikrama means that person who is inside the heart, who is very small there, when he starts his encroachment, he is Urikrama. Urikrama means he starts encroachment. That's what Vamanamurti did there, isn't it? There are some people in this world. You give them a little land, they will take advantage. They will put their fence a little bit that way and take a little bit more from you. It's always there, all over the world it happens, isn't it? About the boundary. Then somebody, sometimes neighbors. One neighbor says, oh look, if you can leave that land for us, it will be helpful for us. Some reason they will make for that and you allow them. And then they will put the fence in such a way, if there is a nice tree plant standing there, you put it around that tree. You will always see in the radio, in the television, people asking questions, what I should do about it. And people taking advantage. So, in the villages it happens. Suppose there is a mango tree or a coconut tree or anything. they will make sure that is within their garden. Vamanamurti exactly is like that. Gave him a little bit, took the full advantage of it and took the whole thing. That's what Vamanamurti does. So that's why he got this name Urukramam. Urukramam means he can do these kind of things. He says here, so 3 feet only he asked initially, isn't it? But what happened? Took the whole thing. So it is like that. And so similarly, if you give space for Krishna in the heart, if you give space for him, what happened? What happened to Mahabali? Whatever Mahabali has got, everything he took over. He took over everything, isn't it? And Krishna expanded himself into all the 3 planetary systems. Higher planets, lower planets, everything he took control of it. And finally, Krishna says to Mahabali, Vamanamurti says to him, that you have given everything, fine. There is one thing we will not give up easily. We'll hold on to ourselves. What's that? Our ego. That's the last thing you won't give up. That's why even we get beaten many times in this world, still we come back. We'll still give it a try. We won't accept it that I'm being beaten. There's nothing point in doing anything here. But still, why is it that? Because ahankaram, or that false ego, is the one thing that we find it very difficult to give up, finally. Everything else we are able to give up. So, the reason for this is, even if you lose your Jagrat state and Swapnam, both of them goes away, in karana shariram and that ajnanam, ahankaram is a ajnanam, it is, it's an ajnanam, it is, that is hiding still in the karana shariram. It has not gone. See, it appears to us as though false ego is gone, but is there, is there. That's why he comes back in the morning. Otherwise, why should he come back? If he has really gone, he wouldn't come back, would he? But the fact is that he hasn't gone. That's why he comes back in the morning. So unless we learn how to hand over that ahankaram or ajnanam in the karana shariram to Krishna, our self-realization is never complete. You can hand over your other things, material opulences and material assets, everything you can hand over. You can even hand over your body to Krishna. You can hand over your mind to Krishna. But handing over that ahankaram in the karana shariram is the most difficult thing, because you don't know where it is. But it is there. Because he comes, as soon as you wake up in the morning, he is there, ready there. See the problem? Body you can hand over, isn't it? A lot of people surrender their body. Some people even surrender their mind. What Krishna is saying there, that's fine, you reach that far, but unless I get the third one, that ajnanam in the karana shariram, which is present only in the karana shariram, that is what is covering the soul in the karana shariram. Because in karana shariram, you can see that there is no other limitations. There is no mind, there is no body, there is no senses, there is no intelligence, there is nothing there. But then what is holding back in realizing the truth? It is this ajnanam there. And that ajnanam is this ahankaram. Ahankaram. Ahankaram is the last one. We think that it has gone, but it hasn't gone. It is there. And that's the one which covers the Akshara Purusha and not allowing us to extend that, our realization, to the Uttama Purusha stage. So handing over that ajnanam or avidya, which is present in the karana shariram, in the deep sleep state, is the third feat which Krishna is talking about. The third feat. The three feet we're talking about, the third feat. And that is that Mahabali has done that. Mahabali has done that. How did he do that? Mahabali says to him, if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see this, how it's all spoken in a very subtle level. And then you can understand that Bhagavatam has a more to offer than what you simply thought as the story. It's not just story of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's message is, if you look at that in the 8th canto, that's where Mahabali comes, isn't it? In the 8th canto. You'll see there that the 22nd chapter. Krishna says to Mahabali that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna only said that I will look after the person, yogakshema mahamyaham. And we say that it is a very high state, isn't it? No, it's not. Krishna is saying here, if you look at that verse, 22nd chapter, verse 35. What did Krishna say to Mahabali? Rakshishye sarvadoham tvam. Sarvadoham tvam svanugam saparichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshade bhavan. Krishna has never given a benediction like this to anyone in the creation till now. What Krishna has given to Mahabali? Rakshishye sarvatoham tvam sanugam saparichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshade bhavan. He says to him, he says, I will, Rakshishye sarvatoham tvam, all the time I will protect you. And what else? Sanyugam saparichadam, not on your own, with everyone, all your family or friends or whoever it is, everyone will be protected. And you don't have to have any doubt about that. Why? I'll be standing there right at your doorstep. Sada sannihidam veera. I'll always be present outside your doorstep, standing there as your gateman. Krishna is saying, Mamanamurti is saying, sada sannihidam veera. And if you have any doubt, there will be no doubt. Why? Tatramam drakshase bhavan. You will always see me standing there. So, which is higher? This one or the Bhagavad Gita's benediction? So that is what important thing. Mahabali's, that surrender of Mahabali in the Bhagavadam is so high that that intelligence behind it, when Shukracharya told him not to offer anything, saying that Vishnu is going to take away everything, Krishna very much appreciated that surrender. Mahabali's, that is why he says, Brahmanyanam Balistvam. Among all the great Brahmanas, I consider Mahabali as the greatest Brahmana, he says. Krishna is saying about Mahabali. Such a fine personality, isn't it? Why? Krishna says that Mahabali is Prahlada's grandson. Is it not? So, that Prahlada's benediction, Krishna has told Prahlada, 7 generations up, 7 generations down, I will take care, you don't have to worry about it. That has come truth. This is Mahabali's concern. So not sitting in Vaikuntham or Golokam, I will protect you. Not some what Krishna says. I will be standing there right outside, he says. And he is still standing there. How do we know? In the Bhagavatam there is a proof. Ravana went to see him. Ravana went to see. Mahabali is his friend, isn't it? They're good friends. They are mates. Ravana goes to see him. When he went there, Mahabali was inside the, in Sutalam, that is where. Mahabali was in the palace and Vamanamurti was standing outside. So, Ravana said, I've come to, Ravana didn't care who he is. Ravana, you know Ravana, how, what he is like. He says to, he saw this Vamanamurti. When Ravana came in, Vamanamurti put his danda in the front. You know, like our, in front of the car, that thing falls. This is like that. Vamanamurti put the stick there. Ravana thought, who is he stopping me? He doesn't know me, he said. Ravana started in a very arrogant way, started talking to Vamanamurti. Says to him, I've come to see Mahabali, why are you stopping me, he said. So he says, Vamanamurti says to him, you can't see him now, he's busy there inside, he said. Ravana says to him, that tell him that Ravana has come to see him. He said, I won't be telling anything, you just have to wait there. When he's ready, I will call you, then you can go and see him, he said. Ravana got angry with him and Ravana had a big fight with Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti kicked him from there and he comes and falls in Sri Lanka, he comes and falls. It's there in the Bhagavatam, Uchadida it says. Then Ravana got kicked from there, from Sutalam, he came and fall into Lanka, to his abode. That is how, that is the proof that Vamanamurti is still standing there. It is in the Bhagavatam also. So, here, important thing is that that even Mahabali says to Mahabali that Rakshishya Sarvadoham Tam Sanugam Sabarichadam. Sanugam Sabarichadam. Sanugam Sabarichadam. That you will be cared for in all levels, whatever that is necessary. Sada Sanihidam Veera. I will be there all the time. Tatramam Drakshase Bhavan. You will see me there, standing outside. So not sitting in Vaikuntham or Kailasam or Golokam that I will protect you from there. No, I will be standing there and I will be protecting you from there. So, that is what Drakshase Bhavan, he says there. And, and saying that, what Krishna meant was that when we realize Krishna in that way, when we realize Krishna in that way, why it was spoken in that way is that when the jnani, when he realizes Krishna in self, within the heart, with that bhakti, what he realizes is that the whole creation is Krishna. Whole creation is Krishna. And when he lives in this world as a servant or as a child of Krishna, some form, when Krishna lives, when the devotee lives like that, that person will never lose Krishna. He will never lose Krishna. After self-realization, when he lives in this world, and then some bhakti has developed in the heart to Krishna, which is para-bhakti. Like the way Mahabali had, that kind of surrender and bhakti has developed inside. And there is some relationship between that devotee or jnani with Krishna in some form. As a servant or Vatsalyam or Madhuryam, whichever way it is, that relationship is, he will he will never lose that relationship again. He will never lose that relationship again. So that's a message. What in the Upanishads and Bhagavatam is corroborating that through this particular incident with Mahabali. Mahabali story is spoken to tell us. Now, what is important here is not what Mahabali is doing there, whether Vamanamurthy is standing there. They are all spoken in a way to make us understand that through jnanam and self-realization, if one comes to Parabhakti stage and Purushottama Yogam realization has happened, at that stage, that relationship with Vamanamurthy had with Mahabali in that Parabhakti state will be like this. That a jnani who has realized Krishna at that stage, he will never lose it for a moment even in life. It will be like, that is why it is said like this, that I will be standing there, you will always be seeing me. You see, that's the way to put it. To tell us that jnani who has realized the truth, he will never lose it again. But that means constantly he is conscious of Krishna's presence in the creation. Krishna's presence in the creation. If you look into the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this in another verse how Krishna has put it. In the 6th chapter, if you look into the verse 30, Yomam Pashyadi Sarvatra Sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. That is that state. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. All these verses are connected with this Purushottama Yogam. They are connected with the Purushottama realizations. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. And this is that benediction what Krishna has given to Vamanamurthy. In the katha form, in the story form it's spoken, Rakshishe sarvadoham tam sanyugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshase bhavan. In the story form. In the tattvam form, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. That is what it is. In the spirit, both verses mean the same. In the spirit. In the story form, when it is spoken, it's spoken in this way. Mahabali was standing there. Krishna says, you go to Sutalam, you stay there, and I'll be there waiting outside. Because all that will make it easier for us to, when you read this verse, it'll be very hard for everyone to understand it properly, isn't it? So that is why in the Bhagavadam, through story form, it is spoken. But the realization of that verse and realization of this verse is exactly the same. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. You can see the connection, don't you? Between that verse and the other thing. So, jnani, what it's saying is, jnani will never lose Krishna. Will never lose Krishna. And Krishna for him is not someone who comes and goes. Coming and going means it's not perfect. Is it not? You see, remember what happened to Dhruva. Dhruva was lamenting later. Krishna has gone, he says. Narada Maharshi also said the same thing. Krishna is gone. So this coming going is not self-realization. That is the difference. Realizing Krishna as realizing the self and going through the process what Bhagavad Gita has spoken. What happened to Dhruva Maharaj and what happened to many others also, Narada Maharshi and all that, when they were small, Narada Maharshi was 5 years old, is it not, when he saw Krishna. Remember that in the first canto? And similarly in the fourth canto, where Dhruva Maharaj saw Krishna, first appeared inside, then appeared outside, and then disappeared. And then disappeared. And the Narada Maharshi was told that you will see me in the next life. Krishna says, I have only given you a taster session. You know, taster session. Krishna's taster session, that is. We gave him a taste how I look like. He said, have a look at me. That was Krishna's mood at that time. But after taster session, no further course, no seminar, nothing. It's over. There, it says, now you go stay here. and wander around in this world, and then at the end of this devastation go back to Brahma, and the whole night Brahma is sleeping, stay there, Brahma's night time. And then in the next morning when Brahma wakes up and when he starts the creation, you can come back again, and then I got this new body, he says. Who says? Narada Maharshi says. That's why when I got this Narada Maharshi's body, I had this Veena in my hand, and I'm singing the, chanting the holy names of Krishna, and I'm traveling all around the universe. So it's a next life, that's what happens. So that kind of realization is not the highest. That's what you have to understand. Dhruva Maharaj realization, of course, for us even that will do, but that's another thing. That's another thing. Even that is good enough for us. But for spiritually advanced people, they consider even that as not perfect. Because coming and going is not spiritual. It's finished. It's come, it's gone. Dhruva Maharaj also said the same thing. Krishna appeared and he asked so many questions. And Dhruva Maharaj is completely spaced out. He didn't know what to answer to him. And Krishna didn't know how to glorify Krishna even. And then Krishna touched his cheek with his conch shell. And then Vaikari woke up inside, and that famous Dhruva Stuti happens. And after all that, Krishna told him, 36,000 years you can live as an emperor in this world, and then you go to Dhruvalogam and all that. He said, after Krishna left, Dhruva Maharaj is thinking, I missed it. He said, I lost it. He said, I missed my chance. I missed my chance. Instead of getting out of this bodily existence once for all, because I had the desire of, this is why Krishna is saying, Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan. Everything has to go from inside. If you have any desire inside, even a trace of it, come back. That's the answer. There's no escape from here. So Dhruva Maharaj had the same problem, and same problem many others had. Many other personalities have mentioned this, that is not totally spiritual. That is some glimpses what Krishna gives you in spiritual life. To some people Krishna gives a glimpse like that, but that's not perfection. Perfection is this, you cannot lose that realization again. That is perfection in spiritual life. If you are losing it, that means you are not perfect. Perfection means you cannot lose your self-realization again, once again. If you have lost it, that means it's not perfect. That's why. Says, Logatrayam Avishya. Krishna says in this verse, you can see that Yo Logatrayam Avishya, he says there, isn't it? Bibharti. Mahabali, he says, Logatrayam Avishya Bibharti. That's what he did. All the three worlds, three planetary systems, Krishna has taken out of Mahabali, and Krishna says, Bhagavan Vibharti Avyayaha Ishwaraha. He says, Paramalpedi Udahratam Yoyologatrayam Avishya Vibharti Avyaya Ishwara Avyaya Ishwaraha. So that person, so only if we realize the truth in the way it is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, only then it is acceptable from the Vedic point of view. If you come back with some story, I saw this light or I saw this form and I've lost it and all, that's okay. We can accept it to some extent. But spiritually advanced personalities, great devotees, great acharyas, who knows the science of spiritual life, they won't accept it. They will only accept it if it is in this way. Which way? Uttama Purushasthanyam Paramalmedi Udahrata Yo Logatrayam Avishya Vibharti Avyayam Ishwara. Because this is Upanishadam. Upanishadam basis this is spoken. Only that is acceptable. And Krishna is again stressing that point here. Because if you don't stress, what will happen is, people will come up with all kinds of nonsense stories. Somebody will say, I realize this light, I realize something else. And they may or may not, that we don't know. We can't say anything about it. Everyone gets some kind of intuitions inside at different times, isn't it? And we have, that is why we have to be careful in the modern world. There are so many personalities who are coming up as spiritually realized souls and speaking, but what is their authority? Is it Upanishads? This is the question. If it is not Upanishad, we have to be a bit careful there. We have to be a bit careful, because you can be easily carried away by propaganda and you start thinking that what you have got is the genuine one. It is not. It is not the genuine one. So therefore Krishna is saying here, once again stressing that point, that the one who is present throughout the Vedam as through Purusha Suktam and Narayana Suktam and many other Suktam where the sound Purusha comes, Purusha Shabdam. The sound of Purusha comes in there. And that is why Krishna is saying here, Uttama Purushastanyam. Krishna sticks to the Vedam. He won't change anything from there. Purusham, Purusha Shabdam comes there. Only Purusham. Purusham, the word Purusha only actually refers to Krishna. Nobody else. We will say, like in the toilets and all, they have put Purusha Stri, like the two boats they have put. But actually, that's not correct. The Purusha word only applies to Krishna. Nobody else. So, what it means is Bhagavan or Parabrahmam or Paramatma, only for whom, that Parabrahma Vastu or Paramatma Vastu, who is discussed in the Vedam, he alone is Purushottama. He alone is Purushottama, and Krishna wants to stress that once again, and that is the next verse. If you look, you will see there. 18. Verse 18. Yasma charamati toham. अक्षरादपि चोत्तमम् अतोऽस्मि लोके वेदे च प्रतिता पुरुषोत्तमम् यस्माक्षरमधीतोऽहम् अक्षरादपि चोत्तमम् अतोऽस्मि लोके वेदे च प्रतीता पुरुषोत्तमम् यस्माद् क्षरम् अतीतोऽहम् अक्षराद् अविचोत्तमा अतोऽस्मि लोके वेदे च प्रतीता पुरुषोत्तमम् बिकॉज आई एम ट्रांसेंडेंटल बियॉन्ड बोथ द फैलिबल एंड द इनफैलिबल एंड बिकॉज आई एम द ग्रेटेस्ट आई एम सेलिब्रेटेड बोथ इन द वर्ल्ड एंड इन द वेदास एज दैट सुप्रीम पर्सन. As that Supreme Person. So, here, Krishna says that Yasmad Charam Atitoham. This Charapurusha we have spoken before, isn't it? What it means, personality or ego, individuality, what's what it is. And this Purushottama, Krishna is saying, he is Yasmal Kharam Atidoham Aksharadabhi Chottama. He is on higher level than him. Atidoham. Than that. Atidoham. And he is, transcends that Kharapurusha. First thing, he transcends the Kharapurusha. Then he again transcends the Aksharapurusha. And he stands. Who? Purushottama. Purushottama stands. Transcending the Kshara-Purusha and transcending the Akshara-Purusha. And therefore, Aksharad Abhijam Yasmad Aksharam Adidoham Aksharad Abhichottama. He says, Aksharad Abhi Abhija Uttamaha. Aksharad Abhi Chottamaha means Aksharad Abhi Cha Uttamaha. So, both these two things, Kshara-Purusha and Akshara-Purusha, he transcends both of them. And one, you experience that Purushottama above these two, and he is present, who is present in everything, everywhere, which is nothing but an explanation of the another Upanishad statement known as Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. You will see this in the Bhagavadam commentaries and all that. This particular Upanishad statement, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, only Brahmam exists, nothing else exist. Everything is Brahma. Everything is Brahma. That Vastu Krishna is saying here, you can call that as Purushottama. Purushottama. So here, Yasmad Kharamadidoham Aksharad Abhichottama Adosmi Loge Vedeja Pratida Purushottama. So, Krishna says here, in the world as well as in the Vedam, I am known as Purushottama. I am known as Purushottama. So, and he says here, Here, world means,
you see that word Krishna used there? Logosmi, loke. Loke.
Generally, loka means world. Generally, that's the meaning. But here, it's a little bit more than that. The word actually means is, loka means in your smriti. In your smriti. Smriti is referring to. Because Vedam has two different sides, two different parts. Shruti and Smriti. Shruti and Smriti is Vedam. Shruti Smriti Puranana Malayam Karunalayam. That's the word famous. Shruti and Smriti is Vedam. So if you look at that verse, you will see that Atosmi Loke Vedecha, it says. Loke Vedecha. So this Lokam word here is referring to Smriti rather than the world outside. World outside is not taken into consideration at all. It's not important for self-realization. What is spoken in the Shruti and Smriti is what is referred to there. But translation, you will see the word they have used, Lokam. Lokecha. Because whenever you say the word Shruti, along with that Smriti must come. Because Shruti, nobody understands Shruti. Remember, I've spoken this before. Shruti is beyond our comprehension. We can't comprehend Shruti. Nobody understands Shruti. Krishna also says that, except me, nobody understands Shruti. I mentioned that before in the Bhagavatam verses, 19th chapter. Yeah. So, therefore, in order that Shruti to be understood by us, Rishis have given us Smriti. They explained Shruti in a way that what they have realized, they have put it in front of us in the form of Smriti. So whenever Shruti is spoken, you will always mention along with that Smriti. But Krishna has used the word Atosmi Loke Vedecha. When he says Loke there, actually he refers to Smriti and not the Loke, what we call so the world. Loke Vedecha. In the Lokam, how many people understand Krishna? How many people understand who is Krishna? What is Krishna? Nobody understands. That's why it mentions like that. So, Smriti. So, Shruti, because the word Purushottama is in the Shruti as well as in the Smriti. Not in the Logam. In the world, you won't find the word Purushottama. Okay, there are some people with the name Purushottama. The people are there. But they are not real Purushottama, isn't it? Actual Purushottama is only in the Shruti and Smriti. So, therefore, here, in that verse, you have to only take it as Smriti and Shruti, not the world outside. Not the world outside. So, that Siddhi Krishna is describing here. Till you know Purushottama, the world exists. The world exists till you know Purushottama. Once you have realized Purushottama, then there is no world after that, isn't it? There is no world after that. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this you will see this all these interesting things in the Bhagavatam also. In the fifth canto, there is Shuka Brahmarshi is discussing with Parikshit about the heavenly planets and the hellish planets, is it not? You know, in the fifth canto, Shuka Brahmarshi discusses heavenly planets and the hellish planets. After hearing about the hellish planets, Parikshit Maharaj got frightened. He says, if I have to go there, what will happen? He says, how will I escape from that? At that time, Shuka Brahmarshi tells him very coolly, he says to him in a very cool way, he says, realize the self, then there is no hell, there is no heaven either. So, once you have realized the self, then there is no hellish planets, there is no heavenly planets either, because everything is Vishnu then. Everything is Vishnu. Jyotishim Vishnuhu Bhuvanani Vishnu. In the all these planets, that is how he concludes that. Jyotishim Vishnuhu Bhuvanani Vishnuhu. Everything is Vishnu at the end. Hellish planets are also Vishnu. Heavenly planets are also Vishnu. And if you realize Vishnu, then you won't have to suffer with anything. And he says to them, Jyotish Chakram. That means all the solar systems, all the planetary systems, everything. And Bhuvana Kosha Varnanam, that means this world of heavenly planets, earthly planets and everything, planetary systems, all that was discussed. And Parashara Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi's father,
says this in the Vishnu Puranam. He says, Jyotishi Vishnuhu Bhuvanani Vishnuhu. That means here everything is Vishnu. Except Vishnu, nothing else exists here. Savaram Jangamam Jaiva Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. This is Parashara Maharshi's words. So, Smriti is necessary. Parashara Smriti is famous. Smriti is necessary to understand Shruti. Otherwise, you won't understand Shruti. Is it not? Now, this important thing, it has to be taken in that way only. If you take it in any other way, you will get lost. You won't go very... You will have a lot of problems inside. Why I'm saying this is, often people have this misunderstanding that they are saying that, oh, this is Prabhupada's teachings and this is somebody else's teaching. No, it is nobody's teaching, it is Vedam it is. You got to accept it that way. Vedam is the authority. Even Krishna is teaching us what is written in the Vedam. You can't go question Vedam. That Krishna himself says that. If it becomes some person's teaching, what happens? When you will have problems there. That person has said so many things. Some things maybe it may be okay. Something may not be okay. You may have a little difficulty. So the source from where you receive the knowledge has to be perfect. 100% perfect. Otherwise it will create conflict inside. That is why all the great acharyas, whether it was Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single person will say, they will never say they are the authority. They will say Vedam is the authority. And we have to have that faith in the Vedam. Otherwise, all our spiritual life will collapse. It will not last very long. After some time, questions will come inside. Oh, he said like this, but he has done all these kind of things. Is he right? How could he do this? This is how our mind works. People question everybody, isn't it? People have questioned Shankaracharya, people have questioned Ramanuja, people have questioned Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada, everybody. People are, they all get questioned one time or the other. And they will always say to us, they are not the authority. Authority is Vedam. This is the important principle. And that Vedam is not accessible to all of us. Therefore, those rishis who have realized Vedam, they have given us their understanding that far in the form of Smriti for those who have no access to the Vedam. That is how Smriti came about. That is why Shruti and Smriti always go side by side together. So, therefore, he says here, Savaram Jangam Jaiva Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. And their realization is, except Krishna, nothing else exists in the creation. Nothing else exists in the creation. So, it's 5 o'clock, we'll have a short break then.
Chedo Darpanam Arjanam Vavamaha Davagni Nirvavanam Shreya Kaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam आनंदं बुद्धिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मसुभनं वरं विजयदे श्रीकृष्ण संकीर्तनम् नामनामगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता निमिदा स्मरणेन कालं एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् ममामि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागाः तृणारवीशुनिजेनां तरोरवी सहिष्णुना അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വൈ ഐ നന്ദനനു ജഗിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം വിഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിതദൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം ഏനം ഗലദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാഗിര പുലകേർനിചിതം ഗദാവപോ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി ഇതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലേഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലംബടോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാ സുനയേവ നാപരാ യസ്മാത് ക്ഷരമതീതോഹം അക്ഷരാദപി ചോത്തമ അതോസ്മി ലോകേ വേദേജ പ്രതിഥാ പുരുഷോത്തമ.
So, we have spoken about this Charavarusha before, isn't it? Which is the Vyakti Bodha, personality, ego, in other words. Because he is superior to him, which one? Purushottama, is superior to Charavarusha. And also, he is beyond this Charavarusha, isn't it? Equally, he is beyond Acharapurusha as well. Acharapurusha also. And and he is spread everywhere. Charapurusha and Acharapurusha is not spread everywhere. It's all limited to the body. And Purushottama is spread everywhere. That's a big difference, isn't it? Charapurusha and Acharapurusha is only within the body. Ahankaram is in the body. And Acharapurusha is also within the body. Whereas Purushottama or Uttama Purusha is one who is present in everything. Is present in. That's why Krishna mentioned in the last words, Paramalpedi Udahrida, he says. He is Paramatma, present in everyone. So this Purushottama word in the Smriti and as well as in the Shruti, is addressed as Purushottama. See, when you take the meaning word, how problem comes. Loke means logam, world, isn't it? And you start wondering why world has got to do with Purushottama. No, Purushottama is actually mentioned based on the Shruti and Smriti. That is the authority. Shruti and Smriti is the authority. So, because in the Shruti and in as well as the Shruti as well as in the Smriti, word Purushottama is there in both the Shruti as well as in the as well as in the Smriti, the word Purushottama comes. Purushottama. And as I mentioned before, that once you have realized this, that the presence of presence of Purushottama in everything, Parashara Maharshi says in the Smriti, in the Parashara Smriti, it is called Vedavyasa Maharshi's father who wrote, says that nothing exists here except Vishnu. Vishnu alone is present here, and Trayi means Vedam. Normally, Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Sama Vedam, three Vedam are taken seriously. Atharvana Vedam, because there is so many things mentioned in the Atharvana Vedam, which has nothing to do with the self-realization. But some of the Upanishads in the Atharvana Vedam is also very highly exemplary. Upanishads are there in the Atharvana Vedam. But Purna Trayi, the Vedam, the three Vedam, they are given importance because it's only directed to realizing the truth, realizing the self. So, here, everything what you see here, so the deity who is worshipped in all the three Vedam, Purna Trayesha is called. Trayesha, three Vedam, Ishvara of all the three Vedam, who is Purna Trayesha. That that form, he is present in, when you see his presence in everything. Purna Trayesha is another form of Vishnu, Vishnu's form. And he is present in everywhere, and mind does not go into anything else except to that presence of Vishnu in everything. In that way, you have to realize that Purushottama. Purushottama you have to realize. So, if you have realized Purushottama in that way, next thing what we have to do, what is the next sadhana after realizing Purushottama? That is what Purusha Suktam is saying. Sarvada Pani Bhadramam, also which is in the 13th chapter. You remember the three verses. Sarvada Pani Bhadam Dal Sarvadokshi Shiromugam Sarvada Shudimal Loge Sarvam Avritya Tishtadi Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. Remember those three verses? That is the one which Krishna is saying there. This after realizing Purushottama, Purushottama realization happens, then there is still things to be done. That means this realization has to happen. What is spoken in the, this all happens with the Purushottama realizations, no doubt. Remember that? Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. Asaktram sarvabhoktraiva nirgunam gunabhoktracha. Those three verses. Bihirandascha. I think it's in the 13th chapter. Verses 14, 15, 16, I think. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Sarvada panivadandal sarvadokshi shiromukam. Sarvada shrudimal loge. Sarvam avrutya tishtadi. Sarvendriya gunabhasam. Sarvendriya vivarjinam. Asaktam sarvabhrikchaiva. Nirgunam gunabhoktracha. Nirgunam gunabhoktracha. And bahirandascha bhutanam. Acharam charamevacha. Sushmatvad tadavitnyayam. Durastam chandikechatat. Remember these verses when we discuss that chapter. Sushmastatad avijnayam. It is so sushmam that it is avijnayam. Unable to know it. So sushmam it is. And durastam cha antikechatad. He is so far away from us and he is closest to us. Upanishad language is like that. Durastam cha antikechatad. He is so far, at the same time he is closest to us. He is closest to us. So these three verses realization comes after the Purushottama Yoga. When Purushottama is realized, that is what it is spoken there. So it is an amazing thing, isn't it? This Purushottama realization. Think about it sometime, what each realization means. Sharapurusha, what we are doing. Aksharapurusha, what he does. These are all realizations. And Purushottama, what that stage is, isn't it? So, you can see here, Sarvada Panibadam Dal, in those verses it says, everywhere it is Purushottama's hands and legs. Purushottama's hands and legs everywhere. And everything is belongs to him. Sarvada Panibadam Dal, Sarvadoksha Shiromukham. Wherever you look, there is only Purushottama. Wherever you look in this world, there is only Purushottama. That stage. Sarvada Panivadandal Sarvadokshi Shiromukham. Swami Ramatirtha, he used to give a very good example to explain this point. At a very early age, he was realized in that Purushottama realization had in him. He says like this, gives this example which I think we have spoken before also. A dog walked into a shop and the shop was selling mirrors. So they kept mirror in all sides. The dog got inside. The shop somehow it got inside. Dog doesn't know it's a shop, he can't go in or anything, he doesn't have knowledge. He got inside. When he got inside, he looked all sides, dogs. He got so angry, he started barking and they were all barking at him. All the dogs started barking at him. So, you can imagine, you have to understand the subtlety of that example, what Ramatirtha has given, only then you will enjoy it. He's saying there, that the dog got in, and he found everywhere the dogs are barking. So he also, what does the dog do? Dog will bark back, isn't it? So he started barking back. But those dogs will never give up. So he kept on barking. Finally he got so tired and he fell down and exhausted. Collapsed, exhausted and collapsed. Similarly, into the same place, another person who had a little bit more sense, he dressed nicely and he was going to get married. So he was dressed very well. So he went into the shop and he saw the mirrors everywhere. He thought this is the best opportunity. Let me look. Whenever he looked, oh, I look very good in this from every side. He was looking at the mirror and appreciating himself. So what was the difference between the two? In this material world, we are all like these dogs. We go fighting against anyone and everyone to survive here. Till we realize the truth. Ramatirtha's mention is this. Ramatirtha says here that the person who was dressed very well, he looked everywhere and he appreciated this, his beauty. When we see Krishna in presence in every living entity, this is the state. That person who is dressed well and walked inside. That everywhere you see Krishna's presence, Nothing else. Everything else is not taken. What all you are saying is Krishna's presence in every living entity. That what it is saying there. That Bahirandascha Bhudanam. Inside, inside is Krishna, outside is Krishna. Bahirandascha Bhudanam. Ajaram Charam Evacha. Sukshmatvada Avijnayam Durastam Chantike Chatat. When that realization happens, that you are not disturbed over anything. Whereas if you are like the dog who had to bark and bark and bark and finally get tired and collapse there, what is the use? So Ramatirtha's message is like this. He says, this is the only difference, he says, between a self-realized soul and a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is like the dog, self-realized soul is like the jnani, realized soul is like the person who is dressed up well for the marriage. So one person knew, the other person didn't know about it. The person who knew, he is enjoying everything, seeing everything in this world. For that jnani, every body what he finds in this world is like a mirror. Because inside what he has seen, he is seeing in that body. He realized it first inside, isn't it? That's where he realized it first. So his own identity, what he has realized himself, he started seeing in the creation also. So all throughout the jagat, the creation, what he is seeing is what he has seen inside. So, and he started realizing that his drishti, vision, is that what is inside is present everywhere outside. So, if it happens like that, then you cannot have any hate or any kind of enmity towards anybody, isn't it? Towards anybody. And that is the reason, if everywhere Krishna is present, where is the question of quarreling, arguing, fighting, hate, and all these problems happens. But, so here, Krishna is saying here, that what we understand like this, you appreciate all this from the theoretical level, is it not? But because of the ragadvesham inside, immediately we are not able to see that presence of the spiritual spark in other bodies. That is where the next verse is becoming important, in order to make that very clear. That we have to accept that Krishna won't speak a lie. Krishna won't speak a lie. Because what Krishna is saying here is called paroksha jnanam. Paroksham it is. It is not aparoksham. You know the difference between paroksham and aparoksham. Paroksham means that it is not in the anubhuti. It is not in realization, isn't it? It's only in the brain. It's only in the brain. So it is remaining as indirect knowledge. It remains as a indirect knowledge. For example, the rishis, they call it as Brahmasatram. Brahmasatram means so many rishis joining together, sitting together and discussing about Brahman. That's Brahmavijaram, it is called. Performing Brahmavijaram, that's called Brahmasutram, like Brahmasatram. Like in Naimisharanyam, Shaunaka Rishi and many other thousands of sages were present there. And what did they do? They engaged in Brahmasatram. Brahma Yajnam, Brahma Karma Samadhi, Bhagavad Gita, it says so many things like that. So, Brahmasatram is the word used in the Bhagavadam and in the Bhagavad Gita, they call it as Brahma Karma Samadhi. They call it another word. You will see in the 4th or 5th chapter it says like that. So this Brahma Vidya is the knowledge of the self. Once that is clear, and one who has to take this decision within oneself, that little by little, this knowledge what Krishna has spoken, bringing it into Vyavaharadalam, into the Vyavaharam also. It has to permeate into the Vyavaharam also. Because every moment you have to see, whenever any hate develops within, you have to see that is Krishna there, present there in that person. It is a big thing, but it has to be done. There's no loophole there. You can't come out of it. If you read Bhagavadam and if you read Bhagavad Gita, this is Krishna's message. You have to come out of it before death. Otherwise, it is going to cause a lot of problems. So, anywhere if we have any dvesham, hate, or any krodham or anger towards anybody at that time, and we have to bring our own mind to into a happy state by following this process what Krishna has spoken. That means you have to realize Akshara Purusha at that time. Akshara Purusha, you have to realize it. In other words, even when you come out from the wake up from your meditations, and when you come to the Vyavaharam level also, you have to make sure to protect your own mind, not getting influenced by the Ragadvesham at that time. So this samasthiti, or the mind when it remains in that balanced state, that is what is called Akshara Purushasthiti. Akshara Purushasthiti, that's called Akshara Purushasthiti, if your mind is in a balanced state. So normally the mind has got three states, isn't it? We have discussed that before. Generally, in a detailed way, if you talk about it, four states we say. Vikshepam, Kashayam, Layam, Nirodham. Remember in the second chapter when we discussed, we spoke about the mind. I don't know whether you remember about the mind, what we talked about. We had a very long discussion about the mind, what mind means, isn't it? So, normally, when Shastram talks about mind, it has got these four different states. Vikshepam, Layam, Kashayam and Nirodham. Four different states. What are these Vikshepam? Vikshepam means thought waves are coming one after the other and takes away to other, it controls the mind. Thought waves, constantly Vikshepam. Vikshepam is thought waves, nothing but thought waves. The Layam is that mind has got this nature, the mind word manam, manasa, it has got a quality called mayam. Mayam means to measure. Mayam means to measure. The nature of the mind, the subtlety of the mind is like this. If something is spoken, the mind will measure it first with its mind. Say for example, suppose you are introduced to another person. You will hear about the person and you will know a little bit about him, and then you will suss out inside what that person is, isn't it? This is the nature of the mind. We won't say it, but inside the mind does that. Even if any object, if you talk about, you will look at the object and something mind will make up. You make up your mind, we say. What does that mean? Making up the mind means this, that the mind does something inside, it measures. Mayam, it's called mayam. It measures the thing and it makes its own conclusions about a particular thing. When it cannot do it, it cannot do it with in reference to one thing. What's that? Brahma. Brahma mind gets doesn't know what to do. That is why as soon as you start discussing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we get good sleep. And that's called a layam. That's called a layam. Mind goes into that mood straight away. Because you keep on listening Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, nothing is making any sense. And then you suddenly start thinking, gone. It's gone. That is called a layam. So vikshepam and layam are the two aspects of the same mind. Mind, if it can manage it, if it comes within the mental periphery, within the mental jurisdiction, then it will wait some time. It will try. Initially, if you can see, sometimes in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita classes also, people initially they'll come. And for some time, if you observe them, you will see that they are trying to capture with the mind. They're trying to capture with the mind. After a while, it's not making any sense. And then what happens? The person falls into the sleep mode. Isn't it? So, vikshepam, layam is the two main activities of the mind. So, these are all... So, if you make it into two, you can generally say it is either vikshepam or layam. These are the two activities of the mind. So, vikshepam means either you'll be thinking about so many things. What's going on? What am I supposed to do? So many thought waves coming, one after the other. So, there is no way you can stop it, that vikshepam straight away, isn't it? So, this state is called vikshiptasthiti. Vikshepam coming one after the other is called vikshiptasthiti. Now, vikshiptasthiti, suppose the thought waves are continuously coming. And in the middle you decided to come and hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And you sat there and you start listening to it, but it's not getting anywhere. So many things you are hearing from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying so many things and you are hearing all that. And you are thinking, thoughts of when is this all going to happen to me? And then you feel a little bit frustrated inside. And then you start, your thoughts will start going to the job or to the problems at home or something else, somewhere else. And finally, what happens? Fall asleep. Goes to layam, isn't it? So here, the important thing is, the reason for that is, for a long period of time, we didn't hear anything from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. We were hearing all the daily news and television and all other things. So, it's not getting that rapport between the thing. So, it means that the time has not come to get that clarity yet. Time has not come. And you'll try very hard, but it is not happening. So, it is not, so therefore, Vikshiptam said it is called. And you are struggling very hard to understand it. You remember I mentioned many times before, Bhagavad, if you start trying to understand things, you won't understand. It's not for understanding. All these things what Krishna is talking about is not for understanding. So, and ultimately after giving a lot of shraddha, attention, everything, slowly the eyes will close down. So, and after that vichevam, if you withdraw the mind knows only one thing, that is to sleep. That is to sleep. That is called layam. So either in the vikshiptam or vichevam stage or sleeping. These are the two modes in which the mind operates. So this is the ordinary person. In ordinary people's life it is like that. But if a stage comes, there is no vichevam, there is no layam. If a stage comes like that is what Krishna calls it as yoga state. Yogasthiti. You see? If you read the sixth chapter, you will see what is yoga state means. There is no vichevam, there is no layam. We only know these two, isn't it? Vichevam and layam. Yogasthiti, it still remains an unknown entity for us. What yogasthiti means. Vichevam we know. Layam also we know. But yogasthiti, we don't know. Yet that yogasthiti is, there is no thought waves and there is not sleep, still alert. That is yogasthiti. So, jagrata, nischalata, all different words used in the Upanishads. So, there is no thought waves, there is no chitavritti, and just like a tank of water, which is very clear and clean. How steady it is, it remains. If your mind is like that is that yogasthiti Krishna is talking about. Then, in that yogasthiti, yoga state, Purushottama will manifest. When you are in the yoga state. Only in the yoga state, Purushottama will manifest. And in due course of time, when that Purushottama's manifestations becomes more matured, it will come even into the Vyavaharam level. Into the Vyavaharam level. It will not disturb people. Sometimes you can see people who are doing that is why the first and most foremost thing in spiritual life is to minimize chittavritti. Minimize chittavritti. Only then you will have a glimpse of this yoga state. Suppose your whole day and night you are busy with your money making programs and doing business and all that. Which means thought waves, which shiptam it is, isn't it? Whichever, all the time. What will happen? After you have worked hard enough for a long period of time in life, the only thing you know is how to sleep after that. All of us have got only a certain amount of energy. Once that energy is exhausted, finished, this body is over. You can't do anything further after that. The cleverness is, while remaining in this body, recognizing this important thing, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, and not to give too much attention to things just to maintain the body. That is the intelligence part of that. Not to give unnecessary energy, dissipate the energy for maintaining the body, rather save that energy for the sake of realizing the truth. And Krishna is saying, yogasthiti is that's what, you will see in the sixth chapter very nicely explained all these things. So, Purushottama Yogam is happening in that state. So, initially you can see here, when you hear all these things, that there is meditation, there is shanti, peace inside. That you can see, when you hear Bhagavad Gita, it brings shanti inside. It brings a certain meditation inside about the soul. Everyone experiences that to some extent. The presence of the soul inside, the realization of the truth, how the way Krishna has put it in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam wake you up from everything, isn't it? But everything goes when it goes to Vyavaharam. As soon as you get into Vyavaharam, those things comes back again. All the vichevam comes back again. What do we have to do at that time? Even in the level of Vyavaharam, you have to teach your mind how to deal with the Vyavaharam state. Because in order to minimize the ragam and dvesham, in order to do that, wherever the mind is going, in the through ragadvesham, because in the Vyavaharam, that's what happens, isn't it? Ragadvesham comes a lot in Vyavaharam. You're working in an office or you're working in a factory, wherever it is. So all those situations, to see that everything what you come across with, to accept that as Krishna's manifestation. That's the only way to come out of it. Otherwise, you have to pay the price for it. You say, I know it's a tall order from Krishna. There's no shortcut in spiritual life. You can do your arati million times. You can do so many things in this world. But these things has to have that impact in the people's life. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So that is why it mentions here that in order to accept that, you will see in the Bhagavatam throughout this point is stressed very much. Yatra yatra mano yadi tatra tatra brahma darshanam. Wherever mind is going and holding on to something. That's what mind does, isn't it? Suppose you have ragadvesham anywhere with anyone. What does the mind does? Mind goes and holds on to him. That person whom you hate or that person whom you love. Wherever there is ragam or wherever dvesham, dvesham, that means wherever there is attachment or hate, attachment or aversion, the mind will go there and hold on to that person or object for that matter. So, that is the time when you have to say to the mind not to hate or not to develop that attachment there. So, this is what Krishna is saying to us in the second chapter. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. Remember that word? If you look into the second chapter. You know the second chapter is the whole message. Simply reading that and chanting that on the Bhagavad Gita Jayanti is no good. That's no use. You can chant and say, oh, I understood Bhagavad Gita. What you have understood Bhagavad Gita? When all these things, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, when it has practically happened in life, then you can say that you have got it. I think it is the 64th verse, isn't it? 264. Yeah. So you can see there, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran and atma vashyar vithayalma prasadam adigachadi. Very open verse, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vashyar vithayalma prasadam adigachadi. By a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. Complete mercy of the Lord. So that is the point what Krishna is saying there. So if you are able to live in that state, this is Brahmana qualifications. Brahmanyam means all these things. Brahmanyam is not the thread. Brahmanyam is these verses, no ragam, no dvesham inside, able to live like that. And Krishna is saying here, without ragadvesham, when you are still busy with the vyavaharam, that means without ragadvesham, your senses are absorbed in the sensuous activities. Jnana, senses of knowledge and action, when they are busy with the activities of the senses, alpa vashye dithaya alpa prasadam adhigachadi. Krishna is saying, at that, even at that time, when the senses are busy with the sense objects, alpa vashyed vidhey alpa, inside, complete realization of the truth. Complete realization of the truth. Senses are doing their job, I have nothing to do with it. Able to separate from the sense objects and the senses and to remain in the platform of the soul. That is what it is called. And that will, Krishna says, if you practice that, it will become strengthened in due course of time. Just like when it rains, the sky gets clear from the clouds. Similarly, the Purushottama will start become clearer inside when that clouds goes away, when the Ragadvesham goes away from inside. So, even when we travel through the sense objects and through the sense gratification, Krishna says, what will happen? That activities will continue, but Ragadvesham won't happen if we live in this world in that way. When we do that, what happened? The vasanas inside will be removed from inside. If we do it like this, if this Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Alpavashir Vidheya Alpa Prasadam Adhigachadi, if that is practiced like the way Krishna has spoken, that Vichevam Layam has stopped, that is Yogasthiti. In that Yogasthiti, if you live like that, Krishna is saying, in due course of time, all that vasana that was present in the Karana Shariram, remember I mentioned that? That Purushottama realization, the most difficult thing in all of this is surrendering body is not a problem. Surrendering mind is also not a problem. But surrendering that ajnanam inside is a problem because we don't know where to find it. Krishna is saying that if you live in this world without ragadvesham, ragadvesham muktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran, even if you have to do vyavaharam in this world, in course of time, if you live in that way, that ajnanam or avidya, which was in the karana shariram, which did not allow the akshara purusha to realize the truth, that vasana will get wiped out inside. And there is no other way to remove the vasana. Do you see the subtlety of that? How subtle the whole thing is. That we understand about, okay, ahankaram, people ask the question, how should I become humble? People ask the question. As so there is a ready-made answer for that. You give it, people are happy. They are running courses and seminars on how to become a humble. How will you become a humble? Whole problem is inside. And that requires this understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Alpa Vashet Vidheya Alpa Prasadam Adhigach. That prasadam has to happen. Prasadam means that pleasant state. That state where you are in the full of bliss, prasadam. There is no ragam, no dvesham. That is that state called prasadam. So what happens is, Krishna says, if you do that, in course of time, ragam and dvesham will not disturb. If ragam and dvesham don't build up inside, then already the vasanas that is inside, they will get wiped out. Because that is looking for an exhaust. For the ragadvesham inside, vasanas inside. So vasanas will continuously get depleted from inside, and you are not adding anything new to it. So, and when this happens, Krishna is saying, when it becomes very, when the mind becomes very pleasant, that prasadam state, Krishna says here, Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayade. If you look at the next verse, you will see there. In that same chapter, 64, after Ragadvesha Muktaistu, Krishna says the next thing. If you look, you will see that Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayate. He says, isn't it? Hani rasyoba jayade. Prasanna chedaso hyesha buddhi pari avatishtade. Buddhi pari avatishtade. That is that. So, this is the process. There is no other way you can come out of all these things. That to give attention to this, with all this understanding, we should chant Hare Krishna. Not otherwise. Hare Krishna, oh, I have to chant because my spiritual master told me 16 rounds you have to finish, everything will be alright. That's useless. That's not enough. You got to know the process and why you are doing the chanting the holy name. You have to chant the holy name with this understanding. Krishna is saying, Ragadvesham must go from inside. And if you do that, Atmavashir Vidheyalma Prasadam Adhigachadi. And then if it is executed in that way, Prasade Sarvadukhanam Hani Rasyoba Jayade. And he says, one who thus satisfied Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exists no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. Well established. So, Prasade Sarvadukhanam Hani Rasyoba Jayade. Someone who read this verse, he says, so if you take a lot of prasadam, everything will be okay. They have come to that. This is also going on. That, oh, Krishna is saying there, prasad, if you take a lot of prasadam, all dukkham will go. Sarva dukkhanam, prasade sarva dukkhanam, hani rasyo vajayade. He says, So, if you know the word prasadam in that way, what can you do? Prasadam means something different. We call it as prasadam because it is Krishna's prasadam. But when we say prasadam, we think, oh, prasadam, is prasadam ready, we say. Or what time is prasadam, we say. Isn't it? Our whole attention is focused on the food. What has to go in. But this prasadam, what Krishna is talking about, prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyobha jayade prasanna chetasaha prasanna chetaso hyashu buddhi pariyavadishtade. He says here. So, prasanna chetasa means the chittam inside is pure. His chitta shuddhi has happened to that person. Or that means all the vasanas have gone. All the vasanas have gone. And then what happened? Buddhihi pariyavatishtade. Here, Krishna is saying, buddhihi pariyavatishtade. Here, buddhi means what? Buddhi means knowledge. Knowledge of the self. That's what here it means. You see how Krishna uses the word? Sometimes he will, now you will start thinking, oh, buddhihi pariyavatishtade. If you don't know that the word buddhi also conveys spiritual knowledge, what will happen? You will start thinking, oh, my intelligence will be a much better state. No, you are situated in the platform of the knowledge. In other words, knowledge of the self. Why? Because what does that knowledge does? That knowledge will permeate everything in everywhere. In other words, he will start seeing Purushottama all the time. Darshanam will happen. Not seeing Krishna's form, but experiencing Purushottama in everything. Darshanam it is called. And wherever he looks, he will start seeing Krishna's presence there. So that is why this practice, what Krishna is talking about, Purushottama Yogam is for practicing it, not for intellectualization. It is for practicing how to bring Krishna in everyone, to bring it out in Krishna who is present in everyone. Which means to so that to happen, Ragadvesham has to go first. Ragadvesham has to go first. And that is that experience, that practice is what Krishna is saying here. In order for our own benefit and also to remove that ragadvesham from inside. Not only ragadvesham. Ragadvesham means, you have to understand this word ragadvesham also properly. Ragadvesham is not only attachment and aversion. Seeing anything special in anybody is ragadvesham. In everything, what really matters is Krishna, isn't it? Krishna who is present in everyone, Atma. But suppose you start seeing some speciality in something, that means there is ragam or dvesham. That's how Shastram talks about ragadvesham. It's not that, which means that ragadvesham is a very word used for to show how the mind reacts to the situation. But seeing any speciality in anything, any speciality in anything is ragadvesham as far as Shastra. So, because once you remove this ragadvesham from inside, what Krishna is saying here, you will have that samabhava, samatvam yoga muchyade. Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter. Samatvam, equality in everything. Wherever you see, whomever you see, whatever you see, that equality comes inside. And that equality will lead into shanti. Krishna says leads into shanti. And that is done not for others' benefit, but for our own benefit. Not for others' benefit. The shanti or samatvam, what Krishna says there, is for our benefit. You shouldn't do all these things for others' benefit. And Krishna says here, for example, he says here, others' sake doing anything is no good. Suppose I got angry with someone and you're not going to lose anything. The person with whom I got angry is not going to lose anything. It's me who is the loser. Is it not? He's a loser. So, you can always look at this. Anytime you get angry with someone, or you develop any hate towards someone, or attachment towards anyone, that person is not the loser. He will probably forget it or move away from the scene. But what has damaged, what has done inside, within us, is phenomenal. And that is what vasana is. And that is what we are trying to get rid of. You see, vasana's nature is like that, isn't it? It does the maximum damage to us and it goes. And it goes away. So, so this is why, you remember that Narayana Kavacham in the Bhagavadam, in the 6th canto, 8th chapter. whole chapter of Narayana Kavacham. Now, people study Narayana Kavacham, is it not? People study Narayana Kavacham. Lot of CDs are available. Lot of our so-called gurus have also sung the Narayana Kavacham for their disciples to recite. And that Narayana Kavacham, they sing, I put it on the CD on, Narayana Kavacham, I am listening, you know. I got Narayana Kavacham with me. What Narayana Kavacham have you got? What has he gotten? So he says here, so because he says, my spiritual master told me that this Narayana Kavacham will protect you from everything. He says, don't have to worry about it. I got the Narayana Kavacham, I chanted, I was walking through the street, somebody put the knife on me, stabbed me. And he says, why is this happening? I'm chanting Narayana Kavacham, this has happened. So, okay, if you study Narayana Kavacham and if you can memorize it, nothing wrong with that. But the important thing is, you should know the spirit of the Narayana Kavacham, what Narayana Kavacham is trying to do for us. So, similarly, people study the thousand names of Vishnu also, Vishnu Sahasranama, isn't it? They study, and so you can see that there is benefit mentioned in all these stotram, Sahasranama stotram, Sahasranama, thousand names of Vishnu. If you read at the end, it will see what are the benefits of reading all these things. When you read the benefit, how wonderful. Everything I'm looking for is there. It's all listed there. And many people's case, the whole faith will go with that. With that. And you're reading, it says, you will have many children and wonderful married life, plenty of money. This is all I was looking for. All I have to do is to chant this Vishnu, thousand names of Vishnu. And if you introduce spiritual life like this, you are inviting trouble. It's there in the Bhagavatam also, in some places. If certain prayers, they'll attach to it like that. Similarly, Narayana Kavacham also, if you read Narayana Kavacham's benefits of reading, Phalashruti, it's called. The benefit what you get from, why did they say that? So at least the man will read it. Because if you tell him that the higher purpose of Narayana Kavacham and the goal of Narayana Kavacham, nobody will read Narayana Kavacham. But if you tell him all these things, he will at least read it. Okay, 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. Nobody is going to sit and read 18,000 verses. Narayana Kavacham is about 15-20 verses. He says, I can handle that. I got time for that. So every day he takes Narayana Kavacham and reads it. But he doesn't go any more further than that. So, what does Kavacham mean? You know what Kavacham means? Kavacham means sheath. You know, in the past, when there was war in the battlefield, when the soldiers went, they had a sheath, armor around them, around the body. It's like an armor, isn't it? Even now, the soldiers have that, isn't it? So, the purpose of that kavacham is that you should not get hurt by any of the weapons from outside. In the past, of course, when they fought the war, they had the swords and the spears and everything like that. So, not the spears and the swords should not get into the body. Therefore, they wear this, what they call, kavacham. Isn't it? Narayana kavacham. This kavacham is word that means. Now, are we all going for the war? We don't go for the war, don't we? We live in this world. But, we don't go for the war, but without our knowledge, there is a war going on inside. In all of us. You can't deny that. That war is going on in all of us. And when you are living in this world, that war is there, happening in everyone's inside. That it is that psychic conflict inside us, is it not? Always conflict coming. Is this the right thing to do? This, or all this constant interaction with the other persons and their impact in us. Who create conflicts in us, is it not? All through life, if you observe, you will see whether you go to office, there is conflict there. You go to the temple, there is conflict there. Tell me a place where there is no conflict. You go home, family, there is conflict there. Tell me one place where there is no conflict. There is no place, there is no conflict. Everywhere there is conflict. And we want to free ourselves from this conflict. Yes or no? So that is why, when and because of this conflict, ragadvesham builds up. Ragadvesham builds up. So when we look at others, we feel that person is after me. He is only going to give me trouble. This is what immediate thought. When sometimes in the office you must have noticed the certain people whom you can't work with in the office. You get somebody like that. And your colleagues also agree with you that he is a difficult person to work with. And Monday morning at 9 o'clock he walks in straight away. Your whole body drops. See, just by his darshanam alone, the whole life is gone. He has ruined your whole day. Why? Because you know that inside you, you have developed such a strong dvesham inside about him that you don't want to see him, don't want to work with him. If he sits in his comfortable office and do something, you are happy. The moment you see him close, coming closer to you, what is he up to now? That will be the question inside. So same thing, this conflict is everywhere. At home, same way, wife. Oh, what's she now? What is he up to now? Children, what are they up to now? So constantly this conflict resolution is going on. Even you go to the temple, oh, now what is they going to ask me now? What's the donation they want from me now? Where is the place without this conflict? That is why kavacham is necessary. If you have no kavacham, you are in trouble. And that is what Krishna is saying there in that Narayana kavacham. So, that is, this you understand, this everybody understands, this is what I have said. Everybody understands this who has lived in this world for a few years, merely can understand this. Another side to it, remember yesterday what we spoke about. A realized soul, when he looks at you for a few minutes, because he is looking from the realized state, this immediate effect on us is that even though we are not realized the truth, that all this ragadvesham temporarily goes away from inside. Temporarily goes inside. Or if somebody looks at their drishti, that drishti, their vision is called amrita drishti. Nectarian vision, it is called. You will see spoken about it in many, many great verses. Yadu, when he went to see Dattatreya Maharshi, Dattatreya Maharshi looked at him in that way. That Yadu felt so good inside, he paid his obeisances to Dattatreya and asked those questions, famous questions in the Bhagavatam. From there, 24 spiritual masters came about. Is it not? So, in the same way, Krishna is saying here, when the jnani looks at a person, it is amrita drishti. Nectar it is when he looks at us. And you can see this also, if anyone looks at us in a nice way, with a loving way, or in a pleasing manner, there will be a rejuvenating experience inside. You feel happy. Oh, this person I can talk to. He is approachable. You can't get on with him. You feel that you can communicate with that person. Isn't it? So, somebody looks at us in a very pleasing way with love or affection, then it will inspires us inside. It gives us some kind of rejuvenation inside. Isn't it? So, drishti, vision is such an important thing. Through that vision, energy comes. Energy flows from the other person. Equally, if you look at someone with hate, or someone with in a heavy way, immediately what will happen? That all your emotions goes through that vision to the other person, and it immediately makes that person very weak. He loses all his strength inside. So, and especially if you are a very receptive person, you will feel the weakness inside. So, in the same way, others' problem in their drishti, it affects us also. What is problem in our drishti? Dosham, drishti dosham. It affects others. If our drishti is good, amrita drishti, it will have its effect on others. If our drishti has got all the problems, ragadvesham there, it will have its effect on the others. Similarly, others' drishti dosham will affect us as well. But the thing is that others' drishti dosham, the effect of that on us is relatively much less compared to the impact of dosham on that person who is looking in that way. So, anything that is affecting us, that drishti dosham, as Krishna says, is that if I look at anything with hate or dvesham or attachment or with any other kind of emotions, and it will upset my balance of my mind. It will upset the balance of... These are things that happens inside in a certain level. Suppose we look at anyone with any attachment or anger or hate or aversion or anything like that, with any emotions, immediately the impact is inside us. Our state of balance is gone. Balance of the mind has gone. And you have lost that shanti inside. And you will see there, it will create a lot of problems also. And many people have mentioned about that, psychological disorders, sometimes it happens. And there is a whole topic, subject they discuss, the medical students, they call it as clinical psychology. Clinical psychology. And they analyze how many kinds of disorders that has happened inside, and they can realize that many problems that has happened is due to the disorders in the mind. Disorders in the mind. Just like so many disorders they say, isn't it? Gastric disorder and so many other things. So suppose I've seen something, I felt envious in me, I felt envy about it, and I got hate in me. Because I couldn't get it, I got hate developed inside me. Or something I was meant to get, I didn't get it, but somebody else got it. Somebody else got it. And it created a depression in me. What they call it is clinical depression. It happens all the time, isn't it? So, at that time, when such things happen, something you are holding very strongly inside, that will come out. That will come out. So, this is all called the arrows. The arrows inside. Just like you remember in the Bhagavatam, in many places, Kamadeva has got his arrows. Cupid. He has got his arrows. So, they are referred to as arrows. Why is they called as arrows? Because it has its impact inside. It has got its impact inside. So, sometimes they say, like our Vishwamitra Maharshi was performing tapasya, austerities and penances in the forest. Menaka came from the heavenly planets. Menaka sung and danced in front of Vishwamitra. And Bhagavatam says, and Mahabharatam also says, immediately Vishwamitra was shot by the arrows of the Cupid. Cupid's arrows were shot. Naranarayana Maharshi was affected in the same. They were sent by the Apsaras women from the heavenly planets. Indra sent, but they were not affected. Markandeya Maharshi was not affected. Vishwamitra Maharshi got affected. And that's how Shakuntala was born from Menaka. Isn't it? So, they are considered to be the arrows coming from Kamadeva, we say. That is, that lusty thing, feeling inside, in the form of arrow, it was hit and he got affected by that. Similarly, not only lusty feelings, even anger is also like greed. They all have arrows. They all have arrows. Similarly, envy, hate. So, they all, when they come, it will come and hurt us. It will come and hurt us, and it will upset our balance of the mind. That shanti will go from inside. So, in order that all these things don't come and upset the balance of the mind, we have to put this sheath, armor. That is called kavacham. That is called kavacham. What is that kavacham? Kavacham is this, that you cannot stop vyavaharam. Vyavaharam you have to continue in this world. We have to continue the vyavaharam here, isn't it? But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you remember about Saubhari. Saubhari, there was a famous personality. This Saubhari, what he did was, he said that I am not able to perform my meditation properly, so I am going to go and sit in underneath the water and perform meditation there. It's a famous story in the Bhagavatam. When you talk about Mandhadav, it comes in the 9th canto. Famous story in the Bhagavatam. That Saubhari, what he did was, he went underneath the water and he sat there underneath the water for thousands of years performing his meditation. Performing his meditation. So, and what happened? One day, he noticed underneath the water, the fish is having a sexual relationship. The fishes were having. Seeing that, Saubhari thought, I have been sitting underneath this water for so many years. What did I get? Look at them, even they are enjoying. That one thought was sufficient. Saubhari got up. He said, I just want to get into householder life. His body, you know, if you leave your body underneath the water for thousands of years, what will happen? It will be like the tortoise body. Full of, it has lost, it's not anymore fresh, isn't it? It's lost an old man's skin. Whole skin has gone, bones are all looking funny. Whole body was looking very funny. He goes to the king. And says to Mandhadav that because he is a rishi, isn't it? Well known rishi, Saubhari. Somebody says to Mandhata, I want to marry one of your daughter, he said. Mandhata didn't know what to say. You can't upset him, because if you upset Shaubari, he will say something, curse him, Mandhata is finished then. That was the type of people they were. They are not like today. Shaubari could say some one word was enough. Like you remember about Shringi. One word was enough, whole Parishit's empire is finished. One little Brahmana boy, he took his tongue out for and spoke few words, a huge planet ruling Parishit finished his business. Everything is over. That is how powerful they were with their words. So Shaubari wanted to ask for this. Mandhata thought about it and he said to Shaubari, he couldn't say no. What did he do? He understood that I have to get rid of this Shaubari from here. He said, I got not only one daughter, I got 50 of them. He said, 50 daughters I got. They are all in the inner palace. You go there and ask them, any one of them, whoever marries you, you can have them, he said. Shaubari understood, this person is going to put Gopi for me. He is not willing to give me a daughter. Shaubari understood that. He is trying to fool me. But instead of saying no straight away, you know how we do all these things, isn't it? If you want to say no to somebody, what do? You do like this, isn't it? In a roundabout way, you say no to him. Mandhata had no intention to marry any of the daughter to Shaubari. And he says to Shaubari, go. Their palace, all my 50 daughters are there. You go and ask any one of them. Whoever marries you, you can take them and go. He went there. Shaubari goes there. When he got there, he noticed that all those girls there, they were all very young and they were all playing and joking and they are living a comfortable life there. When they saw him, they didn't even look at him. His body was so ugly and something like Ashtavakra state. All the body, crooked body, and then the body lying inside the water for so many years with all his big beard and the matted hair. Who will marry him? Even Vedavyasa had that problem, if you know about Vedavyasa's marriage. That Vedavyasa couldn't get a wife. He had so much problem with that. Because all these great personalities, the girls, they look for the attraction, the body is in it. What else are they looking at? So, this has happened. And Shaubari understood that it is not going to happen. He couldn't go back to Mandhata because Mandhata had given a big option. Not one, he said, you can have all the 50 if you want to marry them, he says. So, he left the place and went away and changed his body through yoga. Such a powerful yogi he was, Shaubari. Changed his body and he walked into the same palace. And then as soon as they saw, all the 50 of them says, we want to marry him. And they started fighting each other. All the 50, we should marry him. Who should marry him? So Shaubari says to them, Shaubari only wanted to marry one girl. Now all the 50 want to marry and they started fighting each other. So Shaubari told them, I'll take you all of you, 50 of you. You can go and fight at home after we get there. He took all 50 of them with him. Shaubari. In the Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan says there, Shukha Brahmashri says there, if this can happen to Shaubari, what's your future? He's asking the question there. And he also said one thing, that if, like Shaubari, because he did practice Krishna consciousness in his life, at the end, Krishna gave him the intelligence. And one day, he called all 50 of them and told them, I'm going to the forest. Whole of 9th canto in the Bhagavatam is stories like this. At some point, their intelligence works in the right direction. Our problem, it never works. Their good thing with them was that at some point in life, they came to their senses. So many kings, Mandhadav, Shaubari, and so many others you will see, that Shaubari realized all this is useless. I went into the water, underneath the water I performed penances. Look at my state now, where I am, trying to enjoy this body and these senses. And he told these girls, 50 girls whom he married, I am going to the forest. They said to him, can we also come with you? Shaubari said, if you want to. He took them all to the forest. They all engaged in spiritual life. They all went back to the spiritual world. In the Bhagavatam, it's a famous story in the 9th canto. In the 9th canto. So, here you can see here in the Shaubari's case also that what has happened to Shaubari is a lesson for us, isn't it? That any moment you can fall in spiritual life. So, but at the same time, you can't give up work. Work is there. It has to be done. It's in the Vyavaharam there, isn't it? We have desires also to see so many things here. And hate and desire, all these things does develop inside. And it's not possible to sit inside one room and lock the door, isn't it? So, the that person inside, who is in the form of ragam and dvesham, he will start coming out. So, what does that mean? It means that you can't withdraw yourself from the vyavaharam. So, here, this ragadvesham, when does it happen? When you see difference in something, isn't it? Veda buddhi creates ragadvesham. So, ragadvesham, without creating ragadvesham, we must be able to see other people. This is the technique behind it. Without creating ragadvesham, we have to see others in this world, which is the most difficult thing. How will that happen? It is for only for this purpose Narayana Kavacham was spoken. This is the purpose of Narayana Kavacham. How to live in this world without creating ragadvesham. So, therefore, initially if you look into the Narayana Kavacham, whatever you see in this world, in the Visham, he says, or whatever you hear, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna, he says here. So, you may say that, everything is Krishna means everything is Purushottama, isn't it? Purushottama Yoga means that's all about. But it has not happening. We understood what Bhagavatam is saying, but it has not happened. Doesn't matter. But Bhagavatam's point is that accepting as the truth is more important. Not what you practice it. You see the difference? This is the truth. Truth is what Bhagavatam is talking about. What the truth is? Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasachayat Satyenaneva Kaunteya. If you look at that verse in the Bhagavatam, which is the sixth canto, eighth chapter, 31st verse. Yadahi Bhagavaneva. You know how powerful that verse is? Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasachayat Satyenanena Yasarve Yantu Nasha Upadravaha. That's all it's saying. But what is expected from us from that verse is sky high. It's very, very high. If you look at that verse, it is the 6831. Isn't it? 6831. Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasachayan Satyemanena Nasarve Yanduna Shavubadravaha. This is important thing. Actually, there is only Krishna present in this world. There is nothing else. Yadahi Bhagavaneva. Except Bhagavan, there is nothing else here. Sadasachayan. Satya and Asatya. Both Satya and Asatya is only Krishna. There's nothing else here. And Satya Nanyanana Sarve Yantu Nasha Upadravaha. If this realization is correct, if this is the truth, Yantu Nasha Upadravaha, it should not disturb me. I should not lose the balance of my mind. My mind should remain in the balanced state. This is what that verse is talking about. So here is the most important thing. This Krishna, Bhagavatam has spoken the truth. Now, you may say it is not coming into our realizations. But that satyam is not for practicing it. By practicing alone, it won't happen. By acceptance, it happens. There are two different things. Accepting something is much more powerful than practicing something. I don't know whether you have thought about this point. It's such an important point. Because you may be practicing whole life, you may not get it. But you have accepted something, you have got it straight away. The truth is always accepting and not practicing. Practicing, you may practice or not practice. That doesn't matter. But it doesn't guarantee that you will realize the truth. But accept the truth, you will have it. You will get it. So this acceptance is the most difficult thing. They give this example that a boy and a girl, they were not married before. When they got married, From the next day onwards, after the marriage ceremony over, the girl accepts the boy as the husband. They didn't know before the marriage. They didn't know each other. Somehow the marriage was arranged by the parents, by the girl's parents and the boy's parents, and they got married. The day after the marriage, if you look at them, they have become the husband and the wife. How did this happen? Where was it written that they were the husband and they were the wife? They didn't have to chant, oh, he's my husband, he's my husband, he's my 16 rounds every day. Or she didn't chant, he didn't chant, this is my wife, this is my wife, this is my wife. Did they realize it through chanting? No. It didn't do through any sadhana, it didn't happen. What happened? Somehow or the other, inside, they were able to accept it. So that shows that acceptance is more powerful than the sadhana or abhyasam. Because we are not accepting it, we have to carry on fighting with this sadhana whole life. That's why sadhana has come to. Sadhana has become necessary. Why? Because mind is inside not accepting it. What can you do? Krishna is speaking the truth. Yadahi bhagavaneva vasudha sadasachayan. Satya nanena na sarve yandu nasho vadravaha. If Krishna is present in everyone, if that truth is realized within, if I have accepted that, why should I have any hate or aversion or yagam or dvesham towards somebody? This is because we have not accepted it. That's why. So we'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yes.